Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
One Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. The Columbus Blue Jackets' losing streak sits at 4 games after they lost to the Ottawa Senators 6-3 and nationwide. Elvis Merzlikins was pulled after allowing 3 goals on the first 5 shots he faced. Dmitry Voronkov, Dante Fabro, and Boone Jenner all scored for the Jackets. Jenner was playing his first game after missing the previous 15 with an upper body injury. The Ohio State women's basketball team improved to 8-1, beating Northern Kentucky 94-62. Jelani Cambridge led the way with 33. Thursday night football, the Atlanta Falcons overcame a 14-point deficit in the fourth quarter for the first time since 1993 to beat the Tampa Bay Bucks 29-28. Former Michigan coach Sharon Moore remains in custody awaiting arraignment on assault charges this morning. For every $50 you spend in Roosters gift cards this holiday season, you'll receive a $10 Roosters bonus buck at Roosters locations or roosterswings.com.
Your morning just got more interesting. Distilled and barrel-picked for your listening pleasure. Bo Bishop, a local sports media legend. What William T. Sherman was to the Union Army, he is to Northern College football. A husband, a father, and middling youth sports coach. He's friends with Central Ohio sporting royalty.
I'm talking to Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjorken. Coach Day walking on with us right now. Good to see you, buddy.
Good buddy, Austin Ward.
My good buddy, Tim May, the Tim May Show.
The great Doug Lamorey is joining us.
Hi, everybody. Dom Tabari here.
Oh, Reese came in, and he's handed me papers.
Yeah,
and then he said, you see that button? That's the only button you need to worry about. Don't touch. There's 8,000 buttons in front of me. Oh, I didn't know what he was talking about.
The one that says on.
We blew the budget on this imaging, and only two guys answered our ad on Craigslist. Ryan Baker and Eric Reeser. Act accordingly. You're now listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
And let's do it live on a Friday edition of the program. Bo and the boys. Bake is here. Tim May is here.
I'm here, baby.
Oh, he is here, baby. That's exactly right. Hey, we got a fun little show for you today, kids. We got Julian Sand coming up at 10:30. He is in New York for the Heisman Trophy ceremony, which will take place tomorrow. He is one of the finalists. And, of course, Doug LaMaurice joining us at 11:30. One of the themes of this show and of the sport that you and I and Bake love so much, Tim, is, of course, college football and all the machinations of it. And as fun as all of the stuff is on the field, it can be equally as frustrating off of it, with the relentless greed and the double talk that happens from the College Football Playoff Committee, the inconsistencies of all of it, the absurdity of these conferences that we continue to cover, the idea that Stanford and Cal are in the ACC and somehow Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA are in the Big Ten, and yet they don't even play each other all the time. The calendar's a mess. Recruiting's a mess. NIL's a mess. The coaching searches are a complete mess.
None of it makes
much sense. And yet somehow it's the number two most popular sport in the country because the product and the passion is pretty tough to beat. But if you're tired of all of that stuff off the field, then I encourage you tomorrow at 3 o'clock to turn on Channel 10 here locally and watch Army Navy. They're going to do battle for the 126th time, the cadets and the midshipmen. The fight will be to sing second because the winner gets to sing second. Mm-hmm. The pageantry around it, the innocence of all of it, it's pretty tough to beat. It gets me every year, Tim. I won't say that that's the way that it's always been. As a kid, I kind of dreaded it because the football was something that was not aesthetically pleasing in most years because they play a certain way. But I love it now. And I love the pageantry. I love what they've done with the uniforms and the tributes that they pay to past, you know, sections of the Navy or the Army. I just think it's about as good as it's going to get. What is your relationship with Army Navy, my friend?
I've always been on my bucket list, always wanted to go to it, have still not gone to it. That was one of the things when I retired after the 2018 Ohio State season, the last game I covered for the Columbus Dispatch was the Rose Bowl, and I said, I'm free, man. I'm going to go to all these games everywhere. So, number one, the bucket list still hangs out there. Still got another shot at it, but not tomorrow. I'll be in here tomorrow doing a show, but fill-in duty, as they call it. But no, I go all the way back to the Roger Staubach days and stuff. I mean, that's how much of Army-Navy game I've got in my head, at least of being aware of it and how cool it was, right? And back when Navy played in the, I think Navy ended up playing in the Cotton Bowl that year or one year. But the point is, I mean, yeah, it's special because you're talking to a guy who early in his life, I wanted to go to the Air Force Academy. I mean, I wanted to be a fighter pilot and all that kind of baloney. And then I was told in ninth grade that they don't take people with corrected vision. This was back in late 1960s. And so I kind of funked out there for a while, you know.
Yeah.
And, and my dream, I was not going to be Chuck Yeager, you know, I'm going to be Jimmy Yeager or something. But anyway, I've always thought the service academies were so cool because you had to get in. You couldn't just go and enroll, you know. You had to get a senator or somebody or a House of Representative guy or somebody to sponsor you, and they only took so many guys every year. And so, you know, it's a special class to begin with. But with David Robinson, for example, we know there aren't total restrictions on it because he's not going to he wasn't going to be serving on any submarine.
No,
So, you know, they do make dispensations for athletes. But those guys still have obligations, you know, after they stay in, 2 years, then they're set. You know, they have to, now they've relaxed a little bit, I think, for guys who get drafted maybe in the NFL and stuff. I mean, there are all these kind of like little different things they didn't have back then. Remember, Roger Staubach had to wait to go to the NFL for 5 years.
So did David Robinson.
Exactly. So, but that's what, but it's still, these guys are still regimented. They get up the same time every morning, have to do everything everybody else is doing. Also, they have to get ready to play a big time football. And in this case, one of the two greatest rivalries in sport, in my opinion, are Ohio State, Michigan, and Army Navy. You can say Auburn, Alabama, knowing my background, but they didn't even play for many years because they didn't hate, they hated each other so much. But yeah, the thing you understand is these guys are playing football, and then on top of that, I remember when Ohio State played Navy in 2014 in Baltimore. You just, man, those guys were just different, man. When you talked to them, when you hung around them, that little quarterback that Ohio State had so much trouble with. I mean, I stood next to him. I could have dunked on him all day, Bo, in my brain, but he was a tremendous athlete. So these guys are, most of these guys playing for these institutions are really good athletes. They just aren't, you know, five-star.
Yeah, and Blake Horvath from Hilliard.
Oh, absolutely, man.
This one, and it's had one of the most decorated careers. Blake, what's your relationship with Army-Navy?
I've always loved that it's the only show in town that day.
Yeah.
There's nothing else. It's the last regular season college football game of the year, and it stands alone. And I've always loved that it's different in the fact that the football is different. You don't see it all the time. And it's one of the fun things I always think when Ohio State has played Navy the couple times they have in my lifetime is that adjustment that Ohio State has to make early on, because you don't see that type of football. You may see it in high school, but these guys that were at Ohio State, they haven't seen that kind of football in a long time. So I love to see the adjustment that they have to make as the game goes on. And Ohio State is obviously, when they've played them, a team with more talent, and that wins, and the games aren't usually close, but that adjustment is there, and I love to see that with these. I love to see that old school throwback running the football type game. The other thing that I love, and I feel like Ohio State, Michigan has lost it here recently a little bit, is the respect. It's such a hard hitting football game, and they both want to win at all costs more than any other game on their schedule. But at the end, there is that respect that I feel like we've kind of lost here in the last decade or two with the Ohio State Michigan rivalry. I just it's almost like it's the purest form of sport.
Yeah, I'm for that. I think that's a pretty good summation. And yeah, to your point on the respect, they always want to sing second because the winning team stands next to the losing team as they sing first.
Right.
And the losing team has to go to the other end and stand in front of the cadets or the midshipmen and sing second. So through just absurd circumstances, I became friends with Thomas Modley, who was the undersecretary of the Navy and then was the interim secretary of the Navy 4 or 5 years ago. And Tim, one of my great regrets is he invited me to go.
And I
didn't. And I thought, well, there will be another time to be able to go to this.
Yeah.
And then there isn't. And it's a lesson that in life, when opportunity presents, you have to take that opportunity. In 14, when they played over there, I went to Annapolis. This past summer, the boys were playing lacrosse in Maryland, and I called up Tom, and I said, boy, I'd love to do, I'd love to show the boys the academy. And he called up to bake, to your point, Tim, he gets one a year.
Yeah.
One recommendation a year. And it was a kid from Shaker Heights up in the Cleveland area. And he said, yeah, I'll have the kid that I sponsored give you the tour.
Wow.
And so we went to Annapolis and he gave us the tour of the Naval Academy. And I know that you did that in 2014 too. And maybe I've not been to West Point. I've heard West Point is right
I've
there.
I've never been to West Point. Nope.
Me either. It's a shame. But heard it's right there, maybe even better. But I just remember walking the grounds and being in awe of the quality of human who was there.
Yeah. But you can
thinking this feels like everything that you would aspire to be in life, in sport, all of it. And the last thing I'll say, I remember this in 2014. I remember walking out and doing the Naval Academy tour, and the admiral who was the boss of the Naval Academy at that time, he has a parking spot that's reserved that was right across kind of the street. It was the first parking spot, and he was driving like a 63 Jaguar. And I just thought to myself, that's exactly what I want the Admiral of the Naval Academy to be driving.
And it wasn't Ted Carter's car, was it? I mean,
that's right.
Yeah. But real quick, number one, you can feel the other people who've been there before when you walk that campus. That's what's weird, okay, is you can feel, I want to call them ghosts, but you can feel the presence because of the commitment that's involved there. By the way, I heard Jeff Monken, the Army coach, interviewed this week, and he goes, and he was asked whether, after it's all over, y'all all, go arm in arm and, basically go kumbaya. Mm-hmm. And he basically shot that down. He said, no, this is a rivalry like any big time rivalry.
Yep.
We respect each other, but we really don't like each other, meaning they both want to win in the worst way. And, which is interesting, because Army, Navy, have been competing ever since there were budgets, right?
Yes.
For, no, we'll run the Air Force. No, we'll run. No, we're going to start a whole thing called the Air Force. the rivalry there goes much deeper than football or basketball.
Yeah, I remember lamenting from folks on the Naval side of it, and I have a bunch of family in the Navy, so that I always pull Navy a little bit, much to the great, Quiz, of course, from Ohio State. His son is at West Point, but I always pull Navy. But I remember various folks that I know who are in various positions in the Navy saying that West Point, Navy may win on the football field in recent years. They've won more than not, but that Army wins what matters most, and that's at the Pentagon.
Exactly.
win most there. They're a little more organized.
Hey, one right. One soldier, one rifle. You know what I mean? Hey, it is pretty cool. By the way, Navy, though, with Blake Horvath and, their current administration, so to speak, I mean, it's an exciting kind of game to watch. And people, they beat Oklahoma in the bowl game last year. Yeah. I mean, this is a nice outfit. Let's put it that way.
Absolutely that it is. From one of the purest form of the sport to an absolute mess. The latest up at Michigan. What is next in Ann Arbor? We'll get to that coming up next. We're off and running on a Friday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite and least favorite fan shows are available wherever you get your podcasts. Just type in 971 The Fan to the search bar and hit that subscribe button. It's free.
We're the land of the free and the home of the sunburnt, freckled fat guy.
Do it now.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
And weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Hey there, Central Ohio. I'm Zen Weather Impact Meteorologist Michael Behrens with your latest forecast. Temperatures in the mid-30s this afternoon with some sunshine poking through. We'll be down into the upper 20s tonight with heavy snow expected Saturday. 10 TV Weather Impact Alert Day for the second half of the day as multiple inches of snowfall are expected to fall. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
Are you working? Because we barely are. It's Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for football and quiet quitting. The Fan.
When General Sherman marched through Georgia, he was listening to this show.
Use your skills for good, young warrior.
This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and get ready to play, win, and celebrate big at Eldorado Scioto Downs, your ultimate Caesars Rewards destination. And with Caesars Rewards, you're going to reward every time you play, stay, dine, or shop. Not just here, but over 50 Caesars Rewards destinations across the country. From unforgettable getaways to incredible culinary experiences, members enjoy exclusive perks and benefits that make every visit worth it. And at Scioto Downs, the excitement is nonstop. Take your pick. Over 1,700 of the hottest new games. Sip on award-winning craft brews at the Brew Brothers Micro Brewery. Or dive into Guy Fieri's Trattoria, home of the out-of-bounds 68-layer lasagna, and the energy just keeps building. Scioto Downs has been chosen to host the prestigious Breeders' Crown in 2026, featuring 12 championship races. It's one of the biggest events in harness racing. It's coming right here to town. So come experience the action, the rewards, the unforgettable moments that are waiting for you at Eldorado Scioto Downs, a Caesars Rewards destination where the rewards never stop. Must be 21 or older to gamble. Gambling problem, call 1-800-589-9966. Visit Caesars.com/Scioto Downs for details. Allegedly, today at some point, Sherrone Moore is going to be arraigned up in Michigan for what he did after being let go at the University of Michigan. Tim May with me today, along with the Great Bake, of course. To me, Tim, there are four distinct layers of this story. There is the layer that, from my perspective, how odd it always was that there was never a coaching search to replace Jim Harbaugh. And my feeling always was that if there were more crumbles there from the Jim Harbaugh scandals, that Sherrone Moore was the perfect patsy to take those on, and that he would indeed fall on the sword. So there's that part of it. The other part of it is the football side of it. And that is, what does Michigan football do from here? My hunch is that they were prepared for it, but as we know, they don't have a president. I don't know if Ward Manuel can survive this either. So who's going to be making that call in terms of where that football program goes? What happens to that recruiting class? What happens to that roster? They're all going to be poached. Reports yesterday that Bryce Underwood has no contract, and that potentially he could be a free agent too, which is absolutely wild.
Wait a minute.
Let me get to the four, and then you're going to weigh in on all of them. Fourth one is this idea of, when did Michigan know what they knew? That's the other part. What was this cover up? Like, for example, if he beats Ohio State, because now there's a flood of information that's out there, a ton, all sorts of sordid details that are coming out. Some of it proven, some of it non-refutable, but there's all this stuff out there. All of these people saying, well, I heard about this months ago. Well, then why didn't you report it if you heard about it?
Right.
Nobody could get any reporting on it. So that part of it. And then there's the human element, where I have incredible empathy for his actual wife and his three daughters, whose lives are just in ruins because of the decisions that he made. And he's a grown man, and he's going to have responsibility for those decisions. And he let his family down in the biggest possible way. And so I have great empathy for them. But for me, there are four different kind of tracks to take here. What is your kind of view how all of this has transpired over the last 24, 48 hours?
Well, you know, like you said, putting all the facts together and having them all add up is the toughest thing right now in terms of timeline, et cetera. But, you know, I was under the impression that Ward Manuel or whomever met with someone on Wednesday morning who finally corroborated or put all the final piece in place that you know, in essence, proved, as far as they were concerned, that this malfeasance had happened with a university employee, and boom, he was automatically fired. I mean, the idea I get is no one that I know. I mean, yeah, there were all the rumors of the fire, supposedly, or smoke floating around, but they hadn't put all the pieces together until that moment. And then, the way I understand it, you know, based on what I've read and heard from some friends up there, he was summarily dismissed as soon as this thing was corroborated. So. Mm-hmm. You can talk about when and where something should have happened, could have happened, but the bottom line is it did happen, and it happened fairly quickly, the way I understand it, because one of the most shocked people was Sherrone Moore, the way I understand it, in terms of his job was done. So everything from there is a cascade of of reaction, the way I look at it. And we all know what happened. He ended up at an apartment building right down the road down there on Saline, Ann Arbor Saline Road, and was, you know, confronted somebody. You know, there are all these reports about who it was, but, you know, the cops, I don't think, have come out with a real name. And until that happens, you kind of don't throw it out there. But obviously, this guy had a very, of his own making, a very complex life going on. And, Bo, and I will say this. I mean, I'm not a moralist by any stretch, but this, for one thing, right out of the gate, I believe anybody who will, in essence, cheat on their loved ones, on their wife, for example, a male man cheating on his wife, will basically do anything. You know, I mean,
I think that's fair.
I mean, agree with you. I don't think there are any boundaries on where or when that person, where that person will go with their life. And I've never endorsed any kind of that kind of stuff going on. But the bottom line is, wow, you know, did sometimes the covers get pulled back and you can't really, to begin with, you can't really believe what you're reading and hearing, right? And and I think it can go for his supervisors also. But if they knew more of the facts about this than they were letting on, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks ago, when the rumors really started on the what do you call it, the dark web. It was really slow bringing it to fruition, but they let him do a press conference on Monday. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I don't think on Monday there was any intent for Sharon Moore to be fired. So until all the dominoes lined up and they fell.
So it's interesting that, Tim, you said somebody came forward and corroborated, because I was talking to Bo off the air. One of the things I had wondered about yesterday afternoon was, did this young lady, whoever it is and it's reported to be, did she still have her job? Because if it's zero tolerance for him, would it be zero tolerance for her as well? And I read an article in the New York Post put out this morning that said Sharon Moore was told on Monday to no longer have any contact with this individual. And rather than moving her to somewhere else on the football team or somewhere else in the athletic department, he fired her. And then she went to Ward Manuel and told all of the details.
Yeah,
and
that lines up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's kind of what I'm talking about. Number one, number two, this individual got a huge raise. Even my wife was pointing that out to me last night. You know, this huge raise this person got. And the thing about it is, yeah, it takes two to tango. That is absolutely correct. Both parties probably know it's wrong if, in fact, you know, this all happened, which we understand it pretty much did. But then you're still that person's supervisor. And in a workplace, you know, that's not tolerated. That's not tolerated almost anywhere anymore, the way I understand it. So, wow, it's just wrapping your head around this, though. I mean, you know, we know, Bo, we know people, you do too, Baker, that have defended this program and told all of us we were full of it. And you know what I'm talking about, all over the last many years. And we're not full of it, man. There was bad things going on.
No, this is every bit the legacy. Every bit the legacy of Jim Harbaugh. All of this is.
Yeah.
This cover up, I think I had this yesterday at the end of the
show.
Above
the law.
Yeah, there were 11 different coaches were either arrested or suspended from ever coaching. I mean, all of that happened.
The guy at the same time. The guy stalking people online or downloading.
Right. I mean they had 11 different coaches.
Unbelievable.
And it all happened. And I'll tell you this, though, and this is why I have, when I want to talk about what's going on in that program, the two people that I have on are Angelique Chingalis and John U. Bacon.
Yeah.
Those are the two people that I have on. And
those
I
are my good friends.
Yeah, they're mine too. And, Angelique, I remember her being vividly, when they promoted Sharon Moore, saying that I wouldn't have done it. And she wrote it. That she thought it was too much too soon for him. We talked about that yesterday. And if you saw John U. Bacon's reporting on the Fox channel up in Detroit yesterday, you're getting an unvarnished look at the mess that's up there.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells it like it is. That's why I have those folks on. I know those are friends of yours and you have them on. And there are people that are telling the real truth up there and doing the real stuff. And the fallout from this just from a football perspective, is massive, massive fallout.
Oh,
we're
going
to get into that side of it in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
What's up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. For all your roofing, gutter, or siding needs, call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
All right, here's what's up on a Friday edition of the program. The Michigan football program in shambles. Where it goes from here, who knows? Who's going to be making the decision on where it goes from here? Who knows? It's a very powerful, outspoken board of regents. We know that from the private equity debate that they jumped both feet in as big as possible about a month ago. And so we know that that's going to be probably how this thing takes shape. I'm curious what happens with Ward Manuel. I'm curious what happens to this signing day class. I'm curious what happens to their roster. Of course, none of those things can be poached. The roster can be poached as soon as the portal opens in early January. The signing day class can be poached. And there was already a decommitment, ironically enough for me, from Billings West, a 4-star tight end from Billings West, the Golden Bears. was released from his commitment.
Billings.
I covered them 20 some years ago.
Yeah.
So he was released from his commitment. But once a new coach is hired, then there's a 15-day window that will allow those guys to all be released from their national letters of intent. So there's that side of it. And then there's the who's next. And I assume that they have a short list, or they've had a short list with all of this smoke surrounding Sherrone Moore for so long. The question is, will the people call back? Tim, of those two angles, and I know you wanted to weigh in on the roster in the previous segment. Where does this program go from here?
Well, it's pretty much you have lifeboats that the players can jump into, but you know you delay launching them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you try to figure out. I would think number one, you try to make things as attractive for your big time players to stay for one or another term. And I'm telling you, man, this guy's name isn't coming up like I thought it would, but I think it's I think it would be the hire, considering where Bryce Underwood was committed to before he went to Michigan, if you remember correctly.
Yep.
And that was LSU, and I'm just looking at Brian Kelly out there with no job, and I'm just going, that to me is a slam dunk, because this is a guy who is, I mean, yeah, things fell apart with him at LSU, no doubt about it. But this guy has done it at the highest level for the most part in Notre Dame, and then before that, you know, his tour through the Michigan schools, the lower Michigan schools, including Grand Valley State. And I'm just going to, I mean, that would, number one, you would think that would be attractive to Bryce Underwood, for example, right?
Yeah.
Of keeping him around, and then you move on from there. You know, you almost always, if in fact Bryce Underwood is the answer, and I'm not sure that's the case, but mm-hmm. that's a discussion, another discussion. As you and I've talked about many times, if there's one guy you want to keep on board while all else is failing, it's a big time quarterback. So I would make things as attractive as possible to that guy, start at that level and move on from there. But really, it's, you know, what it's more of, these players now being guided by their agents, because they're agents, mm-hmm. on whether they should stick it out or not. Michigan is going to commit to being, is going to recommit to being big time. It is a big time program. I mean, he was playing to go to the, you know, to have a chance to go in the college football playoff just 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
So the pieces are there, in my opinion, if they can just hang on to them. But yeah, without a doubt, the competition of the piranha in the water is going to be is already crazy, I'm sure.
They got a nice roster. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of kids.
There are 4 and 5 stars on that roster. A lot of people
Absolutely.
Would like to have.
Yeah, receiver. I mean, several. Go ahead, Vic.
But we talked yesterday about a lot of the possible candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Kalen DeBoer, Brian Kelly, Jed Fish, Kenny Dillingham. We talked about a bunch of those guys. Did you see I don't know if they started last night, but the rumors this morning that started to go around that maybe they would be interested in Tommy Rees?
I did. And I know Penn State was interested in Tommy Rees. Tommy had a did a nice job at Notre Dame, did a really good job at Alabama with Jalen Milroe. He's been calling the plays with the Browns for about half a season now. I think the thing you'd have to ask Tommy is, what's his why? You know, like, what does he want to be? Does he want to be an NFL head coach? Does he want to try to run a college football program? In talking to folks on both sides of the aisle, college and pro, anybody who can get out of college football will get out of it. It's never been more so. That if there's the right NFL opportunity that comes knocking, then they will answer that call. I believe that absolutely, because of what a mess this sport is off the field. It's just, it's an up at dawn siege, 24/7, 365. Oh, yeah. There are no off days ever now. And there's no contracts for players. There's no contracts for coaches. I mean, it's just complete and utter chaos. And we probably don't even know the half of it, Tim.
No.
But I just think, like, anybody who can, and I don't think it's a coincidence that the Notre Dame athletic director spoke so glowingly about Marcus and doing whatever it would take to keep him, because I don't know Marcus well enough to know what his why is, but I could see the NFL having an interest in him.
Yep.
And I could see Notre Dame saying whatever it takes to keep him. So yep. that's the reality of where this sport is right now. In terms of the Brian Kelly thing, the thing that I wonder if that would satisfy the Michigan man, for whatever the hell that's worth.
I
wonder if that would satisfy that.
What is that anymore? It's nothing.
There's an ideal, but it's so broken that
kind of makes you nauseous to say that out loud anymore.
Oh, I know. That's why I did it in the accent.
Yeah.
The one that keeps coming up is Kalen DeBoer. And dude, I had Feinbaum on yesterday. And to me, there's one of two things that Kalen DeBoer is doing. It's one of two. And I don't think it can be any, I don't think there's a third. He either is cracking under the pressure, and I don't blame him, of following Saban with a delusional fan base while living in the same town. And you know Tuscaloosa. I know Tuscaloosa. It is not a big town. And Nick Saban is omnipresent. Miss Terry and him go to basketball games. Saban goes to the football games. Like, when Bowden left Florida State, Tim, he moved out of Tallahassee.
Yeah.
Because he didn't want to be looming over Jimbo Fisher. Nick Saban is looming over Kalen DeBoer. It's a 3-hour pregame show every Saturday, where he's omnipresent, and I understand how that would take its toll on you. The other factor of that is, because we had Rich Scarcella on this week on Penn State, and they really believed if he lost the Iron Bowl, they were going to get Kalen DeBoer. And so the other side of that is, does Kalen DeBoer want people at Alabama to actually appreciate him?
Well, I mean, how do you, you know, what you get, what do you, what do they want? Does he want them to put together a parade for him? You know what I mean? For making the college football playoff, when in fact it should have been Notre Dame. And this debate, as y'all well know, and I'm sure you had it too, it on my podcast. The debate is whether it should have been Notre Dame in place of Alabama. You know what I mean? I mean, they're so lucky to be in the SEC. It's nuts. Number one, number two. I'm telling you, number one, I think Brian Kelly, this is me, I think Brian Kelly's a hell of a football coach, and he's available. And what they need is, they don't need, I'm not knocking Tommy Rees. I hardly know anything about him, even though I'm not sure how really good he was at Alabama, for example. I think he was okay in terms of.
He did pretty good with Milroe, don't you
think?
Yeah,
pretty good, but then it deteriorated.
Him on track.
Yeah, Milroe was
Milroe's sort of, not accident or not accurate. And they
bingo.
Won the game.
I mean, they did what they could with him, is my, I guess, my point. But right now, if I'm Michigan, I want somebody who has run a program. And I think at Notre Dame, Brian Kelly ran a pretty straight up program, whether you like him personally or not, or his personality. He ran a really, I thought, stout program. They didn't get the brass ring, but they came close a couple of times. LSU is a total different animal, as you well know. Mm-hmm. But he's been a head coach. He knows what head coach means. Sherrone Moore, I mean, that whole born on third base thing that Jim Harbaugh threw out there about Ryan Dayer. You know, are you kidding me? Sherrone Moore was born on third base when it came to being a head coach, and we saw what happened. I mean, he literally, as we're finding out now, couldn't handle it. I mean, from a psychological or mental standpoint, something popped there. But my point is, Brian Kelly knows what a program, well-run program, looks like, because he's run one. And that's where, you know, Jed Fish, okay, I think that's a little bit of a reach. I think Jed Fish did marvelous things at Arizona. this year, the last couple of years at Washington. He dealt with a lot of mass transfers and all that kind of stuff. Kind of got him back on the beam, but nothing spectacular. Let's put it that way. And then Kalen DeBoer. I mean, that one makes no sense to me based on, do you want a guy who's running away from something? You know, I mean, I'm just,
Brian Kelly at least his wife's from Ypsilanti.
Right. But I'm just saying, yeah. I mean, you know,
I'm from
Alabama and Texas and I live in Ohio. You know what I mean? So,
I do. Yeah. I think DeBoer's a hell of a coach. I don't know that they could do, and he would have no ties to previous regimes.
I do too.
There are no black marks in his past. I mean, Brian Kelly does have the incident at Notre Dame with the videographer on the where the kid died.
That's
a long time ago, but it's there.
There were a lot of people involved in that decision.
I understand.
Though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying it's there. And if you want a clean break, and by the way Brian Kelly, some of the stuff coming out of LSU,
I know,
on the way that Kelly handles, I think they could do a lot worse.
There was
than Brian Kelly because I think he's 64 years old. He'd be a stopgap.
Exactly.
He could set. They need. This
That's
is why
what I'm talking about.
Reese Bake. This is why it can't be Reese. You have to have somebody who's ran a program.
Exactly.
Because you are stepping into a mess, an absolute
mess.
And you need to re-recruit your own roster. You need to recommit the signing class. You gotta keep Bryce Underwood, who that's crazy if they don't have a contract for that kid. And he got $11 million and he can walk.
I was going to interject earlier when you, as Hayden Fry, late great Hayden Fry would say, what a surprise.
Unbelievable.
That, all that you think is gold is not necessarily gold.
Bo, I agree with that. That's why I thought it was weird that Tommy Reese's name came up. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would think they just went through a first-time head coach. I don't think they want to do that again right now, especially with everything is going on. And you know, I've said this forever, and it has worked out swimmingly here for Ryan Day recently, but obviously there were some rough seas for them, for him for a while. I never like a first-time head coach here at Ohio State. And, you know, Ryan Day still had issues, and everything was in place with the infrastructure guys and Pantone and Marotti and Voltellini and all those guys. And it is proven to be the right choice in the end, but it took a while to get there. When somebody's running a program for the first time, there's just things that you don't know until you know, and you've got to go through it.
They
that is correct.
Total clean break of all of it.
That is correct. And that's why we're talking about right now, which, like you talked about, Bo, they need somebody who's run a program, knows what a good program looks like from the inside out. And we'll see if they get to that point.
And somebody willing to take on a mess.
Correct.
That's
it's a
it
mess.
Is.
Zach Galifianakis, remember?
It's a mess. It really is. The Columbus Blue Jackets are a mess, too. We will get to that. Young NBC, the inching closer to a big payday.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my God. What a Thursday night. We'll get to all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day. The Fan.
Hey, Jacket.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Tybus. I'm trunk heavy. That's kind of what I am doing.
You hold all your weight in your legs.
Yeah, look at me. I mean, it's all everywhere, but bottom half, I'm thick. I'm a thick bottom.
T-Bone and Tybus Mornings on the Fan is sponsored by Awaken 180 Weight Loss.
This sports report.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Taking the art of sports radio and day drinking to a whole new level. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
So one of those rare nights where by 6:30 I didn't have anything, and so I was excited to watch Jackets last night and watch the Thursday night football. Going to do the two screen thing, and we'll get into the Thursday night football result in a second. And then I watched the first period and really the start of the first period. I'm like, okay, I'm good. And I know, Bake, you watch this closely all the time. It's a brutal stretch that the Blue Jackets are in. That was a brutal result last night. 4-1 after the first. They try to get close to it in the second, but then they give up the goal right at the end of the second. It's 5-3, and it's and that's it. And good night, Irene. Dean Evason usually doesn't pull goalies. Pulled Elvis early. 3 goals on his first 5. This thing is a certified mess, my friend.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, he pulled him 1 goal too late. Because as I was sitting there watching that game after the second goal, mm-hmm. I was like, you got to get him out now. Because I've seen enough of Elvis. When you see certain things happening, you know, and that goal was a goal that should not have happened. And you could tell, to me at least, I was like, I literally out loud watching the game said, get him out now. Because it was, you could just tell he didn't have it last night. Yeah. And I think it was 1 goal too late. If maybe you prevent that third one, which was another one that probably shouldn't have gone in, maybe if you prevent that, you get a chance, but you don't, and you were just a little too big of a hole. Bo, there's 2 things that I feel is true about this Blue Jackets team. I feel like the way they are built to win 6-5 games. Mm-hmm. I don't think they are built for 2-1 games, 1-0 games. They are built to just get out and run. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, and they do not do this enough, when they play physical, and they started playing physical in that second period and the game got a little chippy, yeah. When they play physical, they get engaged and they are a better team.
Yeah. They're not a good hockey team. I mean, that's where we're at.
They're not right now. They're not a great hockey team right now, that's for sure.
Yeah. They're not the worst. I was just humming Bruce Springsteen's Baby We Were Born to Run.
The points say they're the worst in the Eastern Conference right now.
They're the second worst team in the East right now, is kind of what they
are. See, they're not the worst.
You're 30 games in, though.
Yeah, true that. You are who you are right now.
The only thing that saves them is that there's no separation in the East.
Right.
And in this incredible stretch of poor play where they've lost 4 in a row.
One little run will get you where you want to go, baby.
Yeah, they're only 8 back in the Metropolitan. They're right there because the East just isn't great. But this is one that jumps out to me. I always look at this and whether it's football, basketball, whatever, I want to know different goal differential, touch point differential.
Mm-hmm.
The Jackets have the worst point differential in the East.
Well, there you go.
Now, it's not crazy, but it's minus 15. And for a 500 team, 13 wins, 12 losses, that's alarming
mm-hmm.
to me.
Yeah,
that's what it is. So
yeah,
well, I mean, they'll have to get it fixed here if they can.
People always ask me, who do I think's going to win? You know, how do I think Ohio State's going to beat Michigan? You know, a couple weeks ago, and I go, well, if they score more points, they'll beat them. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, it literally finally does come down to the final tote board. But yeah, I mean, I think you like for a goalie, for example, I think you can see sometimes when there's this line about flying airplanes, you know, like especially big time airliners. You got to stay ahead of the airplane, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because once you start playing catch up, like on an instrument landing or something like that, then you might as well go around because it's not going to work out. I mean, same thing with playing goalie. Somehow or another, the goalie's instincts have to have him ahead of what's going on in front of him. That's hard to I think for people to understand, only because it's so chaotic.
Yeah.
But you can tell when a guy is out of his element one night. And like you guys are talking about, I didn't get to watch the game last night. I was babysitting my grandsons. That's another story. But which was excellent, by the way.
That's awesome.
But the highlights and stuff, you can just see when a guy's not quite, you know, the reactions aren't where you want him to be because he's a half beat late. And
yeah,
but we all know this. In hockey, that kills you mm-hmm. because, you know, you can be playing great in front of him and stuff. But when the goalie's just that tad off, it's going to be a tough, long slog that night.
Tim, are you aware of the bet I made with my 13-year-old, almost 14-year-old?
No.
Are you aware of this? Okay.
No.
So about 4 months ago, we're sitting in the basement and he goes, and he does this, like he'll make outrageous claims, like he knows who invented the question mark, like that type of crap.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's sitting next to me.
One of the great lines ever.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked up on that. So then he goes, he says to me, he goes, Dad, you know, do you think you can ski down Mount Everest?
Ooh.
And I said, no, nobody skied down Mount Everest. What are you, crazy? And he goes, I'll bet you $500.
He pulls up the video.
And he goes, I'll bet you. And I go, fine, I'll bet you $500 nobody's ever skied down Mount Everest. So then he pulls up the video of some Red Bull guy who skied down Everest.
Right.
And so I'm trying to get out of it on a technicality, because one of the things I've instilled with them is if you make a bet, you have to pay up on it, right?
Yes.
So now I owe this punk $500. So this was on like a Thursday night. So then on a Sunday, and at this point, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were 5-1.
Yeah.
And I think the Carolina Panthers were 1-5 or something like that. And he's always liked the Panthers from the time he was little, like the uniforms, whatever. He goes, Dad, the Panthers are making the playoffs. And again, outrageous claim. And I go, double or nothing. They are not making the playoffs. I'll bet you double or nothing they're not making the playoffs.
Wow.
So each week. So last night, he went to bed at 10 o'clock. It's 28-14 bucks.
Yep.
And I go, look, they're winning this thing. They're going to get themselves to 8-6. It's going to come down to those two games between the Bucks and the Carolina Panthers. They play two of the last 3 weeks, but I felt good about it. Bucks are going to take care of it. Come on, Bake. For old time's sakes, buddy, we used to hang out a little bit. Let's get me a victory.
Right.
Nope. Not at all. Overcame a 14-point deficit in the fourth. Did the Falcons, who are playing for nothing. Kirk Cousins throws it all over the place, and they win in walk-off style. And I wake up this morning, and I see the Carolina Panthers atop the NFC South. And guess who came down before I was even up?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The collections, when they come hard, man. Bottom line is, I mean, it was funny. It was after that game. It's like the... It's almost like the Falcons, it's a team that just needed something desperately. And it's like now they're walking around like they invented paper. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and I'm just going, no, man, something's still counterfeit here. But I'm telling you, the NFL, I don't know if it's good or bad, the NFL. You know what I mean? From a parity stick, because everybody's got players. Mm-hmm. And then if you help that other team out a little bit that doesn't have the chemistry but has the players, you can get beat on any moment, That was a great example of one team losing its focus, which I think was the Buccaneers. I don't know if you agree. You watched
it. I do. Yeah, I did. Yeah.
And you, boom, it's, but your son's got it right, man.
That sucks so bad.
I mean, you can take a flyer.
Nothing.
You can take a flyer like he did from 4 weeks ago and turn it into paper money.
Punk. Absolute punk. All right, coming up next, the Buckeyes. What now? Julian Sain, by the way, going to join the program at 10:30. We have that to look forward to, which is very nice. Heisman finalist Caleb Downs picks up some awards. And the Buckeyes with a long wait to see who the opponent is and what it looks like. We'll get into all of that with Tim coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. Here at The Fan, it's always football o'clock. Proud to be your home of the Buckeyes, Browns, and all the NFL games you can handle. The Fan.
Men, we hear it all.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning, I'm Ryan Baker. The 21st-ranked Ohio State women's basketball team improved to 8-1 last night, beating Northern Kentucky 94-62. Big game from Jelani Cambridge. She led three Buckeyes in double figures with 33. Her sister, Kennedy, just a menace on the defensive side with 10 steals. They're back in action Sunday at 1, hosting Toledo. The Columbus Blue Jackets have lost four straight, falling to the Ottawa Senators 6-3 and nationwide last night. Elvis Merzlikins gives up three goals on his first five shots. He's pulled for Jet Greaves. Dmitry Voronkov, Dante Fabro, Boone Jenner all score for the Blue Jackets. Kirk Cousins throws for 373 and three touchdowns, and the Falcons overcome a 14-point deficit to beat the Tampa Bay Bucks 29-28. This one's sponsored by Whiskey War from High Bank Distillery. Drink local, drink High Bank.
Distilled sports discussion served in light beer quantities. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, second hour of the program here on a Friday, because I guess Julian's got some big things going on because, you know, he's a Heisman finalist. We're going to move it up. He's going to join it around 10:18, 10:20.
Sweet.
So in about 15 minutes from now, Julian will join the program. Tim May is with me today. The Great Bake is here as well. So you have that to look forward to, which is very, very nice. Speaking of Julian and the Buckeyes, normally at 10:30 on a Friday, Tim, we have a conversation about kind of the state of state, if you will.
Hmm.
As you watched last Saturday night, was there anything that surprised you about the way that that one went? I had Ohio State winning 27-13, so obviously the result surprised me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it surprised me that Ohio State got inside the 10-yard line and came up twice and came up with 0 points. That was definitely a surprise. I know they've had red zone issues, as everybody likes to say and stuff, but you know, you couldn't figure out a way to punch it in. It surprised me they didn't get more of a handle on what Indiana was doing defensively up front on a more consistent basis. But you know what? It's hard. It's hard to get a handle on what Indiana's doing on defense, the way they will show you six people up there and rush four, but you don't know which four are coming and all that kind of stuff. I thought the run game, they would get it going a little bit. They kind of did in fits and spurts, but that's what happens to you when you're going against that kind of defense. I really like the way Indiana plays defense, just like I like Ohio State's. You know, the main thing was I really thought Ohio State was putting that drive together at the end that was going to end it, you know, and and boom, they couldn't get the touchdown, and so they settled for the field goal and missed the field goal. Now you all look crazy. You know what's funny, Bo, is I'm sitting there Sunday night, and I'm watching the next night. I'm watching the Texans and the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It was almost the exact same game, meaning you neither team got a true handle on what the other team was doing defensively on a consistent basis. And it came down to making plays. I mean, a big play or two. And that's how you know that these were two big time teams, Ohio State and Indiana, going at each other in Lucas Oil, because the defenses were just playing games with you, both mentally and physically, and getting, I mean, you know, Fernando Mendoza, I like saying his name, I don't know if you noticed that. Fernando Mendoza, you know, really didn't have a much better night than Julian Sayin did. I mean, it was a push.
No, it was a push.
But the little back shoulder fade route to Surratt, you know, over Jermaine Matthews, boom, there's the game, because Ohio State could not score in the second half. And it really came down to that. But I did not think that Indiana would be able to hold Ohio State to 10 points. No, I did not. And so that was the surprise. And I'll say this, you know, the late, great Bobby Bowden used to say when everybody, well, the defense played well enough to win the game. That's the way those people talk, by the way. No, it didn't, because you had the lead and you gave it up. I mean,
yeah, not getting off the field on third down multiple times was painful to watch. And that's probably, as you're talking about the Mendoza throw to Surratt, that's probably as consequential a throw.
Yep.
In it's up there, like in the history of the sport.
Yes.
They're the one seed. They win the Big Ten for the first time since 45 by themselves. Mendoza's going to win the Heisman Saturday night.
I think so, but I can't reveal that yet.
No, I'm not saying how I voted. You're not saying how you voted.
Hey, my three.
That's what was in line on that thing. So, like, you think about that throw. Go back to the conversation about it, though. I don't want to get too distracted. Here's the thing that got me, and I didn't know this until I saw it.
Uh-oh.
Indiana's defensive line bully balled.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't see that coming. They were a better defensive line, certainly, than Michigan. They were a better defensive line than Texas. And that's when if you go back 20 years and Ohio State would have trouble with the SEC teams, Florida, LSU, and back-to-back national titles, when you would talk to folks about it, everybody outside would talk about SEC speed, but I would always say, no, it's Santonio Holmes can run with anybody. Ted Gade can run with anybody. It wasn't SEC speed. It was in the trenches. And then they got that fixed. Urban got it fixed. Tress started to get it fixed.
Yep.
And it was like, okay, this is really where it is. We've got to win in the trenches. And so then when Ohio State would play, for example, Oregon in the national title, and I saw Oregon run in, and I'm like, oh, they got no chance.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to stand up against this.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I look at. Indiana's defensive front dominated.
Well, here's the thing. I don't know if you ever know. Yeah, you've noticed. You like baseball. When you're playing against a guy throwing a knuckleball, you got to wear a bigger glove, right? I mean, that literally games they played up front. Indiana's defensive front plays up up front there. He said it for the fourth time.
Yeah.
Those are tough to deal with. I mean, that's because you think you're blocking this guy and you're really blocking that guy. And everybody has to be on the same page in terms of pass off and, but also trying to be aggressive. And it's hard to be, aggressive when a guy is lining up on this one. Let's say right guard. You're at right guard and the guy's lining up on the B gap and he's coming across your face into the A gap. And then the next play, he's flipping out to the C gap, and that guy's coming in through the B gap. I mean, the little games they played within the games they were playing about who was even rushing, those are tough to deal with on a consistent basis. Sometimes you get it right. A lot of times you get it wrong. But that's why you have to make your points. You have to make your plays in the seams there of that, yeah, in between. And that's what Ohio State could not do on a consistent basis. Now, but I go back to this. Ohio State still put together one more good drive than Indiana did. Just Ohio State didn't capitalize on them. So,
yeah, to your point, that's been a problem all year, the short red zone. I don't know that they, to this far in, I don't know what they can count on zone.
I've heard the criticism now. I've seen it and read it and stuff about the three and four tight end sets they put in there. I was a fan of that at the beginning of the year, but I do believe in the I've had my buddy Jeff Snook and everybody else. I got him on my upcoming Monday podcast because he eviscerates a Ohio State loss like no other. but the idea of taking maybe the best offensive player in college football sometimes off the field in the red zone, you know, inside the 10-yard line and going with four tight ends, including one of them playing a fullback. I'm talking about, you know, Jeremiah Smith off the field and or Carnell Tate. I'm not sure I'm a believer in that anymore. I think we've seen it blow up on them. I mean, I would make a defense have to defend Carnell Tate and Jeremiah Smith down there and then play football with the other nine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we'll see if Ohio State, if in fact they go that route. You know, they've rarely, this is, and I do believe this, they rarely have played. I mean, Dan Orlovsky was right about the opposition Ohio State has faced since Texas, you know, and very, very, I don't know why my alarm goes off like that when I've got everything turned off, but they've rarely faced a team of, they didn't face a team of Indiana's caliber until they faced in Indiana, of a team that could play games with you. And physically, by the way, was a matchup. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
Well, it wasn't fluky.
No.
They're really good, Bake.
Oh, yeah.
And, Tim, we've been talking about that on this show for a long time. Why, when you get down, when you need to score points, would you take your two best players off the field? It never makes any sense. You just throw the ball up to one of those two, either 4 or 17, and those aren't 50-50 balls. Those are like 80-20 balls with those two guys. So throw them up and give it to
them. It's not quite that easy, but go ahead.
You also have an offense, and I understand things get different when the field gets smaller, but you have an offense, as Bo has termed it, it's built like a Ferrari. So offense isn't made to go off-road and four-wheel.
But that's what I liked about the three and four tight end sets. They
were
addressing,
built.
They were, well, dude, what do you, I mean? They were addressing that aspect of it, of wanting to be physical down inside the 5-yard line this year. I gave it up to them for a while, but you know, it comes a time that, you know, for example, the third down play that Julian saying where the ball got tipped away to Bennett Christian. You know, the first look was to the running back. I think it was Bo Jackson coming out of the backfield, streaking into the right flat. Julian didn't like what he saw there, tried to throw to Bennett Christian, who he's hit by the four, by the way, this year on that exact same play. Well, Indiana scouted that.
Yeah, they knew it was coming. They were ready.
They knew it was coming. I mean, as soon as they didn't buy the play fake, guys were covered, except for Nate Roberts came through on the play. I think it was Nate Roberts came through on the play fake, and nobody picked him up. I mean, in the middle of the field. But it's hard to sprint right and then throw back into the middle like that. I mean, if you go back and just parse it, but Julian had really three options there: Bo Jackson, Bennett Christian, or run it. And
linebacker was there on the run.
Yeah,
the linebacker was waiting
exactly
for him on the run.
Exactly.
There wasn't anything there.
And when he looked at Bennett Christian, Bennett Christian had like a step on the guy. But by the time the ball got there, that guy made a hell of a play. I'm trying to remember the guy who knocked the ball away on that third down play. Now, As it turns out, that was ball game.
Yeah, that was ball game. The man who threw that ball was Julian Sain. He will join the program coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on the Fan.
The sound of Paul Keels calling a Buckeye game is erotic.
Oh, yes.
Your home of the Buckeyes, the Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Join our resident gambling degenerates, Dave Biddle and Scotty Vegas, for On the Money, Sunday mornings at 9.
Presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus.
All the action, none of the responsibility.
The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
In Central Ohio, I'm 10 Weather Impact meteorologist Michael Behrens. Temperatures in the mid-30s this afternoon. A little sun poking through. Mostly cloudy tonight. Upper 20s, low 30s tomorrow. Snow starts around the midday and continues through the evening hours. Heavy snow expected will impact travel. Multiple inches of plowable snow. 10TV Weather Impact Alert Day will be in place. That's your latest weather forecast. I'm meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
It's Friday and there's football. I shall call it Football Friday.
Sponsored by Tansky Sawmill Toyota.
Your home for all things football. The Fan. Bo knows many people. He talks to the interesting ones on this show. This is Bishop and Friends.
Bill Bishop and Tim May with you, and joining us now on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline, Buckeyes starting quarterback, Heisman Trophy finalist Julian Sain just landed in New York, as my folks have let me know. Julian, thank you so much for taking the time, buddy. I've said all season long that you are allergic to inaccuracy. Go all the way back for me. When did you start to realize that you could throw a football kind of wherever you wanted to?
Yeah, I think growing up, I just kind of gravitated to the position and, followed kind of my brother's footsteps. But, I think, accuracy, it takes everybody on offense. It takes receivers making great catches and the offensive line doing their part and blocking well for you. So I think it just takes everybody.
Were there things you did as a kid that honed it, that you worked, just processes to get to the point where it feels like, because to me, you're the most natural thrower of the football I've ever seen come through here. It's shocking almost if one's inaccurate. What did you do to get to that point?
I think just, growing up, I just had a lot of love for the game and was always going out there and trying to throw and, just get better and improve every day. And I've always been a natural thrower of the ball, I think. And I just was trying to fine tune that growing up throughout my process.
Yeah, Joe, and you're the last guy sitting on a dunking stool would want to see coming up to his booth, right? I mean, I think that's pretty accurate, right? Hey.
Yeah, I've been a couple of those when I was at the fair.
Yeah, carried a lot of big bears home, or at least your girlfriend did. I wanted to ask you, what do you want to see most? You're in New York City. I don't know if y'all flew into Teterboro, which is across the river from Manhattan and stuff. Probably went private plane today. But my point is, what do you want to get to see on this trip, along with seeing maybe them call your name or hearing them call your name for the Heisman? But what do you want to see on this trip? Like you talked about the other day, you were there when you were 12 years old. And Is there one place you've always wanted to go see and stand on top of or whatever?
I'm just excited to kind of experience what they have planned. I don't have any specific things that I want to go see, but I'm just excited to see what the experience is and take it all in.
Julian, how do you wrap your head around the last couple of weeks from winning in the game in crazy snow conditions and all of the emotion that comes with that? The Big Ten championship game last week. Now you're in New York at the Heisman. It's so much so fast. How are you compartmentalizing it? How are you handling? And what does it sound like when you hear, as a kid who's always been a natural thrower of the football, one of the dreams has to be to win the Heisman if you dare to dream that big. What does it do for you to hear Heisman Trophy finalist?
Yeah, it's really special. Growing up, I've always wanted to, be a part of this and, to be in New York for it. It's amazing. I think you just got to take it one day at a time. We had the loss the past weekend, and we'll come in and watch the film, and we play another game in, you know, 20 days from now. So I think it's you just take it one day at a time, but it's a great honor to be here, and I'm really excited.
I was wondering, June, I was going to ask you this earlier this week, but do you almost need a break at this point in the year where you've been concentrating so much, you've been getting ready for games, huge games down the stretch, et cetera? Is this a little bit of a welcome relief for you in terms of, from maybe a mental standpoint, if anything else, of just kind of kicking back at least one weekend and kind of enjoying life, enjoying the spoils instead of, you know, grinding to getting ready for another game?
You know, I think you don't really take your mind off the ball. You know, like, you know, we're thinking about the next one that we're about to go play. But I think it will be nice to, you know, we get some guys, you know, fully healthy and, you know, just get to recover our bodies a little bit.
You were obviously on the team last year and watched firsthand as Will navigated those four games to get that national championship. And I know if you sign up to play quarterback here, obviously that's one of the goals is to do that. What did you learn last year? Probably one of the first times in your life where you watched and didn't play. What did you learn from him and what are you trying to apply from that and just how you've grown as a leader this year?
I think I learned a lot from him just about the way he prepared and the way he was a leader for that team, for that offense. And there were so many great points that, you know, I took from him just, you know, sitting in the meeting room and just so many great points from him. So I think I learned a lot last season.
Hey, Julian, who are you most curious to get to know a little bit better? Is it Diego Pavia? Is it Jeremiah Love? Is it Fernando Mendoza? Obviously, you got to see him up close and personal. I don't know how much interaction y'all had last week after the game. But who are you most curious to get to know a little bit more about? I mean, obviously, Pavia, you know, playmaking extraordinaire. But go ahead. Who are you most curious to get to know?
Yeah, I think I've never met any of them in person, so I'm excited to meet all of them, and you know, it should be a fun weekend.
Well, the other thing that's cool about the Heisman is it's all the past Heisman winners, right? And so there's going to be folks that you're going to see who you've looked up to, who you've idolized. It's a massive stage when you look around, and especially at the end when they go to announce it and they all come up there. Have you thought about that moment much in the lead up to this?
Yeah, I think you know, it's obviously really cool to have all those past winners up there, you know, guys who I looked up to my entire life. So, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you watched on TV and you think about that moment. So, definitely.
Hey, what are you, Julian, what are you and your team, as you're sitting there, like you said, it's never far from you, the football aspect of things. What are you thinking needs to maybe be juiced up a little bit between now and when y'all play the winner of Miami and Texas A&M? Where can y'all go with this offense maybe that maybe you ran into roadblocks with last week against Indiana that you think needs improvement?
Yeah, I think we just, you know, we hurt ourselves in a lot of ways and, you know, didn't execute to the best of our abilities. So just got to clean up our execution and practice and make sure everything is sharp and on point.
It's such a crazy calendar that you guys are in the middle of here. I can't imagine being a player in the middle of it, but it's, you know, it's a game every week and you get the bye weeks that are worked in there and there's so much stuff that just keeps coming at you. Now you got like this 20-day break here. As Coach Day has addressed you guys and it's different from last year, right? Cause last year you guys played in the first round. And so now you have this big break. What is kind of the plan from the team perspective on how you guys are going to navigate the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, we've been, you know, taking a little bit of time to get our bodies healthy, but you know, we're listening, we're watching film, we're getting ready, we're preparing, we're practicing. So we're getting ready for this matchup, whether, you know, it's Miami or Texas A&M.
Hey, June, were you surprised to see that three Buckeyes are in the top nine of the Heisman Trophy voting this year? I mean, Caleb and go ahead.
Yeah, we have some great players on the team, so you know, I wasn't too surprised to see it. You know, Caleb and Jeremiah up there as well. You know, they're really great players, and you know, it's awesome to see them.
You think about, I'm sure all of these things you consider, but you think about your recruitment and all of those things, and then the chaos that comes with Saban moving on, and you find another place, and it's been well documented. But the way that this has played out so far, it had to be pretty close to the way that you had hoped it would play out in your head when you were forced to make that decision in such a short time. And what can you tell me about what you remember about the decision to choose Ohio State and kind of in your head, how you envisioned it playing out?
Yeah, I think I wanted to come to Ohio State you know, just because of the tradition here, you know, the quarterback development that, that Coach Day has, and, you know, the talent around you, an offense and a great defense. So I think it's all kind of played out as to the way I wanted it to. We still have more football left to play. But, you know, from a perspective of what I wanted in a school, I think it's been awesome.
Hey, Julian, did you have to submit a list of people you would like to have at the Heisman ceremony? I mean, I think mom and dad are going to be there. Maybe Coach McNeil from Carlsbad mm-hmm. might be there. But how does that all work? I mean, from the standpoint of who can and can't come, so to speak.
Yeah, you submit a list. And, you know, I was at my family, and then my head coach will be there. So it's to be a really fun weekend.
Who picked your outfit?
I did. Yeah.
You give us a little teaser. You feel confident what the choice was?
Yeah, I'm confident in it. Should be good.
any surprises you're going to unveil? Like
nothing crazy.
Gotcha.
Nothing
crazy. Hey, real quick though, it is. One last thing. It is cool being there, isn't it? I mean, when you think about it, like you said, it was a little bit of a dream. Everybody dreams that dream. But like we were talking to you about earlier this week, few people have the wherewithal to not only make it happen, but be connected to a team that helps get you to that point, mm-hmm. et cetera. Just how would you explain how things have sort of come together in your life to this moment?
Yeah, I think I've been surrounded by just great people, you know, being at a school like Ohio State, that just has great people around you and has a great team around you, has great coaches. It's been a blessing.
Buddy, I've got a 9-year-old, and I'm going to, this is my thank you to you. We went in to get a haircut in August, and he told the barber, he said, I want the Julian Sand. And I said, we can do that. We can do that all day long. You are Julian Sand all day long. And I just thank you for the way that you handle yourself, the way that you've carried yourself as a Buckeye, and the way that you've represented a state, and how important you are to the kids of the state. It's really an incredible responsibility, and you've just crushed it, man. And when you hear, I'm sure you get that all the time, but like you've been a hell of a role model, bud.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Good luck tomorrow night. Thank you so much for your time, pal.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, there he goes. Julian Sand, Heisman Trophy finalist at Ohio State. Incredible first season of quarterback play out of him. We will react to what we just heard from Julian, and also have some thoughts on his season and what's still to come coming up in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends right here on the...
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service because nobody likes waiting around. You listen in BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan Guest Hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant, doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
Pull up a stool and ask the bartender for something neat, because Uncle Bo is on the radio. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and we are proudly sponsored by our great friends at Diamond Cellar, your true jeweler for over 78 years. Buckeye Jewelry starting at just $99. Still time, kids. Still a couple of weeks. Get there. Tell them Bo sent you. Easton and Sawmill, they will take care of you on that side of things. Tim, I remember you and I, the great Tim May with me. I remember you and I his freshman year when Will had come in, and we were out there. It was those open training camp practices, which they do, that are just so awesome. And we were out there and we were talking after I'd gotten off the air, and after watching him throw.
Yeah.
And obviously Will was going to be the starter. And at that time it was Devin Brown in the mix, and but Will was going to be the starter, and everybody kind of knew it, but you couldn't help but just watch. And one thing that I remember you and I discussing was the way that the ball comes out of his hand. Mm-hmm. It just was different. It just spun different. The accuracy, he just always had it. And so when that competition, you were choosing between two very different styles, between Lincoln and Julian. They're not really that similar in terms of the way that they play the position. And then this year, obviously he won it, and then it's played out. Mm-hmm. And I've told you, and I know you were as bullish on him as I was, that just wait till you see him throw it. And he has had one of the great first seasons that a first-year quarterback has ever had here.
Yeah. What jumps out at you immediately when you watch him throw the ball? Number one, his release. Even Kurt Cignetti brought that up last week, you know, before the Big Ten championship game. But he's got that, you know, I've got privilege to sit and listen to Billy Fessler talk about quarterback play last year earlier this year in the coaches clinic. But Julian exemplifies this. He's got that forward lean to him when he's throwing the ball, meaning the way it comes out of his hand, it's like he looks like Roger Clemens throwing a fastball. The way, you know, Clemens had that forward sort of like step, but forward lean where your top of your body's ahead of the bottom of your body. I mean, it's just cool to watch. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you're throwing under duress, so you don't necessarily always get that. But the way I asked Ryan Day about this earlier in the year, the way Julian pretty much stays on platform for the most part when he's throwing the ball, but then when he's off platform, he still gets his upper body in the right right configuration, which is uncanny. And not everybody, you think you can teach your son to do that? No. And like I was asking him earlier this week, after he was named a Heisman finalist, when we got to talk to him, there are a lot of guys who have the little kids who have the dream of going to New York City for the Heisman ceremony, who when they're little kids, but then when you grow into that body of not only just having that dream, but then having the physical ability to do things over and above everybody else, and then mentally to handle the load. The load is ridiculous for quarterbacks. Hope people aren't fooled by Julian being a man of few words, because he definitely is that when he talks to us. But inside him, man, he's thinking football. You can see it. I mean, his smoothness. I think the thing that surprised me the more this year went on was just how natural he looked on the move, meaning getting outside the pocket, moving within the pocket to buy time and stuff. That doesn't mean every play goes off without a hitch. But that's what took him over the top for me, is he doesn't just have the arm. He doesn't just have the quarterback acumen. He has the physical ability to avoid pressure. You know what he reminds me of, Bo? He reminds me, not exactly, but he reminds me of Joe Montana. And Montana's ability to, like, stay within the play, get outside the pocket, move around, and still get off a clean pass accurately. And his accuracy, I'm talking about Julian's, I've never seen anything like it. Probably the closest were C.J. Stroud and Troy Smith, but this guy's on another level.
Well, Tim, no one's seen anything like it. If they were to play no more games, he would set the NCAA single season record for passing accuracy.
Right, and many of those were throwaways, the ones that missed.
And we're talking about all of his physical tools, and we don't talk about his running ability. He's a much better athlete than people probably give him credit for. When I was getting ready for one of my state championship games last week, I was talking to the St. Henry coach, and he was talking about the quarterback who he's related to. It's like his second cousin, but he calls him his nephew. And he was talking about him, and he said, "Charlie is so calm." He said, "I almost get angry at him because he never shows any emotion, and I don't know what he's thinking." And that's so important sometimes with a quarterback, when, especially when things are going really bad, to never let anybody show that it's bothering you, your body language, anything like that. And also, you don't want the team to get too crazy high when it's going good, because things can go bad so soon. And when he was telling me that, when he was talking about that, it did make me think of Julian and how Ryan is in that. And he's coming off the sideline and Ryan's on him like, "What's going on here?" And Julian just kind of smirks and takes it all, and then goes to the bench, and they put the camera in right in his face, and he's just smiling. Nothing phases the dude. He's unflappable, and that is so important, I feel like, for a quarterback with their team.
Well, I think that was put to the test in Ann Arbor.
Yes.
He throws a pick on his second throw. They obviously said, "We're going to throw to 4-17 first because we're going to prove to everybody that they're ready.
They're back.
To deal with them. They're back." And the first one's incomplete. The second one's picked. And then he comes right back out the next drive in conditions I'm certain he's never played in his life, and was completely everything he's been all season long. That's when I said, okay, there's, you knew it, but he hadn't really faced true adversity yet as a quarterback at Ohio State. I mean, the Texas game's 14-7, but, and I said this after the Texas game on the Monday, I thought he could have handled a lot more than they gave him in the Texas game. And he executed that game plan flawlessly.
Yeah.
And I think coming out of that pick on his second throw in Ann Arbor, in the snow, in the cold. That's when I was like, okay, not that you need it anymore, but that's when it was. That was so impressive to me, Tim.
Yeah, think about the dynamic of that Texas game, though. Absolutely. They got up 14-0. And your defense has got Arch Manning, you know, doing. I'm just saying
they could have let him go a lot more than they did.
Oh yeah, it would have been interesting if that game had come down to a tighter game. Let's say that going into the fourth quarter, basically. But the bottom line is now you don't want to do anything to screw it up. But I agree with you. And the other thing is like it's really funny this whole Heisman race now. If the regular season had ended, like everybody wants, to go away, get away from conference championship games. If the regular season had ended with him throwing three touchdown passes to its three primary receivers in the Michigan game in the snow, in the breeze and snow up there, I'm just wondered how the Heisman race would have come down instead of having this extra game, which basically, in my mind, I'm a Heisman voter, pitted the top two candidates, and then Mendoza wins by 3 points. So I think it would have had a curious spin on this Heisman race if, in fact, it had ended on November 29th instead of last week.
Probably would have been him and Pavia.
Might have been the top
two,
saying.
I would say.
Yeah, but I think the winner.
He would have won it.
The winner of the Big Ten championship game became, in my opinion, the odds-on favorite.
Yeah, and I think not just your opinion, but Vegas's opinion too.
Correct.
And I do think I'm curious to see what Julian and what this offense's approach is in the playoff. Because one thing that I was even surprised in the Indiana game last week, Tim, was I thought that. I understand what they were trying to do. They all season they've tried to limit possessions, they've tried to limit the amount of plays, they're playing the long game, all of it. But there wasn't you don't give yourself a lot of time if it doesn't go right.
Correct.
And I would love to see that kid operate tempo. We haven't really seen him do it yet. Even before half against Indiana, they weren't really that interested in it.
Right.
And I just would love to see him operate some tempo. It's just something we haven't seen.
But tempo,
yet.
Yeah.
They're gonna have perfectly manicured conditions the next three times they play.
Right.
And yes, I'm expecting them playing three more times.
Yeah. And tempo, you got to get first downs when you go tempo or else.
Yeah.
I mean, Ohio State only had the ball for 22 plays in the first half offensively at Michigan, against Indiana. And, that's not enough to get any kind of sample of what's going right or wrong. You just know on a couple of plays. But the bottom line is what getting back to Indiana and the way they affected Julian Sands game is there were several plays like Ryan Day alluded to this the other day. They wanted to get Carnell Tate more involved even in the second half, but there were several of those plays where just when you're ready to launch, a guy came free, meaning a defensive guy, and you got to move. And so now you're on plan B, C, and D. And so they definitely have got to get some things figured out in that direction. But I think you agree with me. I think Texas A&M and Miami both will offer them some big time opportunities to move the ball, meaning maybe some big plays, et cetera. It's not the same as Indiana's defense. So I'm curious to see if Ryan and company come out with the same mind bent they had against Tennessee.
Real quick on that was able to be done because Indiana got pressure with four.
Correct.
And that's how you could have all that confusion on the back end. Go ahead, Vic.
It'll be fun to see if they do. If they come out and put the foot on the accelerator, because Tim, you're right, when you go tempo you need to get first downs or you're giving the ball to the other team really quick.
Yeah.
When you play the way you've played all year, though, you've got to put points on the board on those drives, and when you don't, that's huge momentum for the other team. So it's kind of a two-edged sword there with both styles. I just think Bone, we've talked about it all year on this show, I think this team is built for tempo. And so I think a quarterback like Julian with those two guys on the outside would thrive.
Yeah. The one last thing, and obviously what you were talking about, how Julian, his answers are brief. I think his media policy is much like his play.
Yeah.
Incredibly efficient.
Yes.
Like he answers the question, it's efficiency and away you go.
But he rarely, that's just who he is. Yeah, he rarely reveals much.
No.
I mean, about him. I mean, that's why I like talking to his high school coach, Thad McNeil. He's a great guy. Yeah. And it's funny, Julian lets other people sing his praises, and I understand that. Just think about it. Will Howard going to the Heisman ceremony, right? And we might have gotten two questions.
Oh, yeah, right. And he was also 23 years old. Like he,
correct.
And had been around a lot.
But totally he would have different. Expounded on all he everything he's yeah. seeing as he's riding with Jerry Emig in the Lincoln Town car, you know, going through the Lincoln Tunnel,
for sure.
you yeah. know, on their way to a Midtown. So,
and, yeah. Bo, how exciting is it that we get to do this again with him maybe next year, with him Absolutely. And Jeremiah both coming back?
Absolutely.
Well, hey, by the way.
On a thing up oh, next. Yeah. Okay. Bishop and Friends right here.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
This is the Daily Show with Coach Jake Diebler, brought to you by Encova Insurance. Your team playing in Cleveland tomorrow against West Virginia. This is nothing new, but is there a little bit of a sizzle that comes with guys playing in NBA arenas?
I think so. And, you know, that's the ultimate goal for everybody, right, is to be able to play in an NBA arena every time, you know, for a career. So I think this will be a great environment. You know, West Virginia will travel well. It's all, whenever we've played them up there, it's been a really, really fun game. So, you know, we're looking forward to tomorrow.
Okay, we'll have another comment in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Archie Griffin, two-time Heisman Trophy winner. The right coverage can be a game changer, both on and off the field. That's why Encova Insurance and their local independent agents are prepared for what's next and protect what matters most to you. Whether that's your home, car, business, or family, Encova's got your back with a policy that fits you perfectly. With local independent agents in your neighborhood and innovative insurance products that can be tailored to fit your unique needs, Encova's playbook is an easy win for your peace of mind. You can trust their team of agents to develop a strategy that's just right for you. And it's not just X's and O's. Your expert agent will guide you and provide insurance solutions so you can confidently manage your risk and count on a financially secure future. For auto, home, and business insurance, you want Encova on your team. Visit Encova.com today to find an agent near you. Encova is a proud sponsor of Ohio State Athletics. Go Bucks!
Now, the officials have been talking for quite some time.
Alrighty, let's see what they have to say.
Upon further review, there is no penalty on the play. However, we have conferred and discovered that Bob, the line judge, has saved a boatload for his kids' college using Ohio's 529 plan. It is tax-free, accepted nationwide. Bob recommends we all go to collegeadvantage.com. First down!
Well, that's not entirely unexpected.
Haha, classic Bob.
At Ohio State, we are the never afraid to innovate teams. The agile, get it done teams. The achieve more together teams. And the improve people's lives teams. Together, we are the Ohio State University.
Learn more about Ohio State at osu.edu/impact.
This is the Ohio State Sports Network, presented by the Ohio State Wexner Medical Center,
the team physicians for Ohio State Athletics.
Jake, as your team gets ready to play West Virginia in Cleveland tomorrow, is there something to, whether it's recruiting or just brand sense, to be able to wave the flag up in Northeast Ohio?
Yeah. Yeah, we're exploring ways for us to play kind of throughout the state. And I think being able to go up to Cleveland is a great thing. That's a, it is deep, you know, Buckeye country up there. And so we're looking forward to getting up there and love when we have opportunities to come play up there.
Yeah, this is the Ohio State Sports Network from Learfield.
Tis the season to be hungry at Roosters. That's why for every $50 spent on Roosters gift cards, you'll receive a $10 Rooster Buck back in your stocking. May your holidays be filled with friends and family, love and laughter, and of course, Rooster's Wings. Go to roosterswings.com today or drop by any Rooster's location to purchase your $50 holiday gift cards and receive a $10 Rooster Buck in return. Happy holidays from all of us at Rooster's. Rooster's, a fun casual joint.
Toyota Thon is on, and there's no better way to get in the spirit of the season than with a new Toyota. Now through January 5th, get 2.99 APR financing on remaining new 25 Tacomas. Excludes TRD Pro and Trailhunter. Or lease a well-equipped 25 Tacoma SR5 for $259 a month for 39 months with $39.99 due at signing. With approved credit through TFS. Tax, title, and license extra. Call 1-888-36-TOYOTA for details or go to toyota.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Hey, it's awesome.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Group and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Keep your friends close and your producers closer. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing on a Friday. Hit it, Bake.
Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus. Find your next grill and everything you need for the master griller. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
So former Super Bowl winning head coach Bruce Arians, he was on the Athletics series about the mental side of sports. Mm-hmm. When they had him on there, he was asked about trying to find kickers during the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Super Bowl winning COVID season, and there was there one guy that they reached out to who actually declined the offer.
The other guy I called was Pat McAfee, and I said, hey man, might need a kicker for COVID. Can you kick? He said, yeah. I said, you don't even have to come down here. Just start kicking and get me sick just in case we lose our kickers. We'll fly in for the game. He said, I got to pass a drug test? I said, yep. Oh, I'm out.
Thing or not a thing.
A thing and both. Right?
Fun thing, right? I mean, it's a funny thing. I love, it's funny how that all shook out. There's not much of a thing to it in terms of it didn't come to fruition. But I do love, and we played some audio from Coach O yesterday about Joe Burrow. Like, I love these old guys that are doing these podcast rounds and telling stories because you hear things that you had never heard before. And I just think I'm into all of it. And so I love Arian sharing that story. That's a good one.
Well, you hear things that you had heard but had never been proven also with some of these things.
Yeah.
Like Orgeron, front door, back door. That was a great representation of what was going on definitely down in the Southeastern Conference. You got to think, you know what I'm talking about, you come in through the front door with the money now instead of the back door. So
who knows,
it's probably going on everywhere, as the old saying goes. But it's funny, I've always been intrigued by how people keep secrets like that. Everybody keeping the secret, right? I mean, it's kind of crazy.
I always said that the biggest dichotomy to me, having covered Southern football and then moving up here, was just, I don't think folks up here realize like how small some of those communities are that those Southern programs are in.
Yeah.
And I always use the analogy that a lot of them are, like, I always used to say this about Gainesville, like, Gainesville's the firm. Like, don't ever go against the firm, Mitch. Nobody goes against Florida at Florida. You can't get anybody in Gainesville to talk negatively about the Florida Gators in Gainesville. You can't. So how are you going to investigate anything? Meantime, Columbus, Ohio, 3 million people in the metro. Yeah. Not everybody here loves the Buckeyes.
Right.
It's a massive city. It's easy to get to. In the old days when you had to investigate things from the New York Times or the Washington Post or USA Today or whatever it may be, and you come into town from a national perspective, you can fly direct into Columbus. Good luck flying into Auburn.
Bo, I've always said,
good luck flying into Gainesville.
Bo, I've always said, you know, the thing about from being around Ohio State football for, like, 50 years now, but 42 years covering it, it's amazing when something does come out, you know, negative, then you have people come out of the woodwork, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, what about this, you know? And it's a total different environment. Starkville, Mississippi, compared to...
I would say State College is like the only place... that State College is the most SEC university in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Penn State.
Maybe.
In terms of the feel of it. And it's so remote. It's tough to get to. Hard to find people to talk.
Iowa City's like that. Iowa City's a little bit like that, you know.
Just not as big a program.
Right.
It's funny you guys kind of got into that conversation there with everything that's happening right now up in Michigan when all these people were like, oh, we've known about this for 2 months.
Right.
We've known about this through the summer.
Yeah,
everybody knew this girl's name.
Old news,
and now it's been reported. The Franklin County Convention Facilities Authority is advancing a funding plan for the $400 million renovation of Nationwide Arena. It says it's going to be a mix of state, local, and private dollars to modernize the 25-year-old venue. The proposal that came out says that the commission is seeking $100 million from a new state fund dedicated to sports facility improvements. They also plan to issue more than $100 million in public bonds and is asking the city and the county to contribute $25 million each. The remaining costs would be privately financed. The renovation, the plans of which were unveiled earlier this year, is expected to include a redesigned entrance for Nationwide Arena, a large format video display, an outdoor terrace connecting to new food options, updated restrooms, concessions, and an expanded team store, plus new heating and cooling. Thing or not a thing?
Thing?
Yeah, I mean, a thing. Based on this, Bake, it looks like $150 million is coming from public, and then the other $250 is coming private. Is that kind of the math on it? That seems to be kind of the mix that we're finding now when we're either financing new stadiums or renovating older ones that need it. I think it's the best arena in the state of Ohio. I don't think it's particularly close.
Agreed.
I don't know about why you would need a redesigned entrance. I understand why you'd want a bigger team store because it is pretty cramped.
So I believe with that entrance, Bo, what they're planning on doing, because you kind of know how that main entrance is, and the team store is there on the left.
Yeah.
They're going to pull the whole entrance out to equal where that team store is and make that covered so people don't have to stand outside. And then they're going to have like restaurants and bars up top there, some of which will have patio seating can look out over the arena district.
I got you.
It's a lot cheaper to upgrade something than to build something brand new somewhere else. And plus, you would have to leave a void in the middle of wherever that was. I just saw this story in the Houston Chronicle about they're floating the idea of renovating or bringing up to code the Astrodome, which was built, by the way, for $24 million way back in the early of the mid-1960s. It's going to cost them $1 billion plus.
What are they going to use it for?
Well, that's the point. You know, I mean, you could actually build a hotel in the middle of the Astrodome. You know what I mean? All these things. But that's what they're debating. Renovate it, bring it up to code, or tear it down. You know, and it was the eighth wonder of the world at one point, according to everybody. So the thing is, you either have to, like, keep something up to code and maybe ahead of the game or get rid of it, and eventually that comes. But I think this is a bargain when you look at the price. Of course, that's the going-in price. You know, what's the coming-out price will be a total different number.
All right. Final hour of the program coming up next. Our good buddy Doug LaMaurice coming up at 11:30. What did we get mostly right? What did we get mostly wrong this college football season? We will get into that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
All the Ohio State conversation you can handle. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
Your Ohio State flagship station. The Fan.
Come on!
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit lindsayhonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus.
Good morning. I'm Ryan Baker. Former Michigan head football coach Sherrone Moore remains in police custody awaiting arraignment on assault charges after he was fired. Sounds like he will appear in court sometime around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Boone Jenner made his return after missing 15 games and scored a goal. That couldn't stop the Blue Jackets from losing their fourth straight, falling to Ottawa 6-3 last night over at Nationwide. Rough night for Elvis. He gets pulled after allowing 3 goals on the first 5 shots he faced. The Jackets It's back at home tomorrow night when they host Vegas at 7. The 21st ranked OSU women's basketball team improved to 8-1. They beat Northern Kentucky 94-62. What a night from Jelani Cambridge. She scores 33. Her sister Kennedy, what a game on defense. She has 10 steals. And Kirk Cousins throws for 373 yards and 3 touchdowns. The Falcons beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 29-28.
Sports conversation that's worthy of a toast, or at least a stiff drink. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Bake, do we have final hour here, by the way, here on the first non-football Friday? I mean, it's still Football Friday. I mean, the beloved Bobcats play tonight in the 1AA playoff.
There we go.
Yeah, they're both. Yeah, they play tonight, I think, at 9 o'clock. The Bobcats do. My brother's beloved Grizzlies tomorrow.
Where is that, by the way?
North Dakota State got bounced.
Yeah,
North Dakota State got bounced, defending champ. So it's like kind of wide open. You're gonna, and I think South Dakota State's out too. So you're gonna get a brand new champion in 1AA.
Where is that game? Where is that game tonight? By the way,
Bozeman.
Wow, that'll be nice.
Well, here's what's crazy. I was talking to my dad about this, Tim. I think it's like 50 degrees there.
Yeah, no, fella, we're in a weird time warp right now when it comes to weather. You know, I mean,
yeah,
you're here feeling the backside of something. It's good. Go ahead.
Yeah, Montana tonight. It's Stephen F. Austin against Montana State in Bozeman. It'll be 46 degrees at kick.
By the way, that's my baby brother Tony, who's going to be 68. That's his alma mater, Stephen F. Austin. I went there for one semester and decided I already knew everything and didn't need to go anymore. From Nacogdoches, so, Texas.
In a way, this is me against you.
Yeah,
me versus the May family.
I never thought about that because I covered some SFA games when I was a sports editor of the Lufkin News. And by the way, Jim Trussell took Youngstown State. I think they even played a game down there one time, and you had to fly into like Longview and then bus down to Nacogdoches. But that should be a good game because Nacogdoches, I mean, Stephen F. Austin's got a really nice program, as you well know.
I do well know, yeah. So that one is tonight. Beck, do we have obligations from a sponsorship perspective to play Know the Scores today?
I don't think we do, but I mean, if we're going to talk about it, I'd love to just hear the music.
Let's go ahead.
It's time for Know the Scores on Bishop and Friends.
Sponsored by Buckeye Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing.
No That's scores. Beautiful. It is beautiful. No scores to know this week as we're out of the Division One. You've got Army, Navy, and a bunch of 1AA games over the weekend. D2 and D3, of course, going as well. I'll tell you what, Bake.
Who do you like, Army, Navy?
We'll get to that.
Okay.
I'll tell you this, Bake. We knew the scores pretty well. So last week I ended up 4-5. So I think we mimicked. We both went 4-5.
Correct.
I ended up 93-68, picking when the Buckeyes played, obviously, the 11 biggest games of every college football weekend against the number, ended up 93-68. You had a great year,
and
too.
I was right behind you. I was at 90-71. So I struggled a little bit down the stretch, but got off to a hot start, and we rode that the rest of the way.
Tim, if you go back to July, August, what is one thing that you thought would happen this year in college football that didn't? In other words, what is something that you got most wrong?
It's funny because there's a bunch, but most wrong, probably, I didn't buy into the hype of Arch Manning because I knew he was going to, I thought there were some things there that needed to get ironed out with just the way, for example, he plays, right? And when he came in here sidearming and flippy dipping like Patrick Mahomes, I went, wow, they've got a long way to go for this guy to even be a all SEC quarterback, much less Heisman Trophy winner. But I thought Texas would find its way. I don't think Texas, yeah, they beat Texas A&M, but other than that, really, what'd they do for you, right? So, so Texas and then Penn State, I knew Penn State would be limited. Finally, in the final analysis, because I was never sold on Drew Allar as a big game quarterback. But the way they fell off the beam and kept falling surprised me, stunned me. So those were the two that I got wrong in terms of what I anticipated seeing as the season played out.
How about you, Bick?
Well, I mean, the one is very obvious, right? And it was colossal, the one that I got wrong. And I thought Clemson was going to be great this year. I thought they were a team that could win the national championship. 82% of their production coming back, first-round draft picks on their defense, two supposedly on their defensive line. Klubnik, his numbers were so good last year, and he just never got any better. He probably regressed, and there were issues with Clemson from the start. And I thought Clemson was going to be a team that could win a national title, and they obviously couldn't have been any further from that.
Yeah, you kind of talked me into them, too. And I remember in the offseason, a lot of the buzz around Clemson's, the way people viewed Clemson had a lot to do with the way that Klubnik played in the loss.
Right.
At Texas. It was like, oh, he played well in a loss. Maybe there's more there.
And the schedule was easy.
And the schedule was cake. Yeah, it was. And by the way, didn't they beat LSU?
Here's the thing, Bo.
In the opener?
No, they... They lost to LSU. It was close. I think it was like 17 to 10.
It was a close game. Yeah, they lost. But watching that first game, you weren't like, oh, this season's going down the tank for them. And then they just kept losing and losing and losing.
Yeah.
So that's one that jumped out to me that I was definitely not on that side of. And I would have...
LSU's went down the tank too, by the way. Go ahead.
They did. If you would have told me in August that not only would Penn State miss the playoff, but that James Franklin would be fired before Ohio State played Penn State, I would have said you were nuts.
I didn't know we were going to get that deep into the autopsy, but you're exactly right.
There's no way, Tim.
You're exactly right.
The idea that those walls that were built up on that foundation were so flimsy that it crumbled like that.
Yeah.
He was there a decade.
Dude, they played crazy. They could have gotten to the national championship game last year with one more play. I know. And now all of a sudden he doesn't know anything about anything. I mean, but I told you, man, the last time I was over there covering the game, what was that, last year when they got beat by Ohio State, the rancor among the ranks of the people screaming obscene stuff at this guy as he ran off the field and then screaming to each other as they were leaving the stadium, I went, boy, paradise is not what you thought it would be.
No.
I mean, it was definitely palpable. And you're right. It's almost like they were looking. They literally were looking for that one moment where they could jump off the James Franklin Bridge. And they did that this year. And wow, just crazy. And then you thought they had a big plan in mind to replace him, right? When you do that as early as they did, as Urban Meyer said, well, you know, evidently somebody's got a plan there. No. They didn't have a plan. They didn't have a plan that was viable, and they end up taking the 10th or 11th guy they looked at.
Did you realize, you maybe did, I didn't until towards the end of their search. I had a couple of buddies who were Penn State alumnus and one who's pretty well involved, and then we talked to Rich Scarcella and Dave Jones when he was a little bit. We talked to those guys about, I had no idea what a mess the Jay Paterno faction is over there.
Oh, yeah.
And how much of a hindrance that has been to that program moving forward. I just had no idea, Tim, that he was that active. I knew he was on the board, but I had no idea that he was kind of almost working counter to almost everything going on over there.
Kind of like Bear Bryant's son, remember?
He was in the same spot?
Yeah, but kind of a similar kind of deal. But, you know, he's the one that didn't allow Jimbo Fisher. UAB, if you remember correctly, UAB offered Jimbo Fisher a really good contract to be their head coach way back when. Mm-hmm. And I think Saban wanted Jimbo Fisher back with him at Alabama after Saban had come over from the Miami Dolphins. And they basically quashed the UAB offer. But instead of Jimbo joining Saban, he went to become the coach in waiting with Bowden. So
I didn't realize that Bear's kid is involved in that.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that go on behind the scenes that are really interesting because you're trying to steer things one way or the other. And that's why, you know, Lane Kiffin, people can knock him for jumping, but when the governor of the state, you know, forget about the athletic director, when the governor of the state is making things happen for you, the governor of Mississippi can't really do that, right? Because he's got two schools. But Louisiana's like Ohio State in the sense of LSU is the school in the state, even though they've got other schools. And so that's why you kind of jump on board the power train.
I'll tell you something that I assume they would be good. I assume that they would be I knew they'd be a team of consequence when they landed Mendoza. I knew that they were aligned because he was one of the guys. And so I knew that, okay, they've got a NIL front that's locked in. They are rowing in the same direction. So when they landed him, I thought, okay, there ain't anybody who thought as we enter the college football playoff, Indiana would be Big Ten champion, likely Heisman Trophy winner, and the number one overall seed.
Tim May said even on these airwaves way back in the late spring and summer when I was getting to come on and do some things because all you guys are taking PTO, you know, that I thought Indiana was going to be better than it was a year ago. That doesn't mean, based on their schedule, they had a tough row to hoe. Based on their schedule, it may not show in their one loss, but I thought they were going to be better for several reasons. But the main one was they had a playmaker at quarterback now in Mendoza, major upgrade there, and boy, did it carry them. So I'm not taking credit, but that's a hell of a football team I watched last week.
Yeah, it's one thing, and I think you know, you could look and say they might be better, but I think that was kind of the common refrain was they might be better, but the record might not be
correct.
Right, and then they go to Oregon and win, and then you go in, okay,
Dominated. Fourth quarter. Dominated.
Yeah, that it was like, oh, okay. And then the SEC this year has been just a... It's just been nuts to see how that all tracked out, and then inevitably Georgia being able to take it. And that's what we're going to get into coming up next.
Okay.
College football playoff field is set. What we like about it, what did Tim think of the process? What did they get right? What did they get wrong? We'll get into all of that coming up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot of hosts have been on our airways in the past 30 years. Some good, some bad, some really bad. Anyway, sorry for that. The Fan.
Care Heating and Cool.
Atlas Butler has convenient two-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
All your favorite fan shows are on YouTube. Along with those fake YouTube ads like Chew This Gum and It Grows New Teeth. Experience the splendor of Bose sitting in his closet, Timmy Hall's gaudy gold chains, and Matty Ice wearing a coat in 90-degree weather. It's all there. Head to YouTube and subscribe today.
Hello.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Hey there, Central Ohio. I'm Zen Weather Impact Meteorologist Michael Behrens with your latest forecast. Temperatures in the mid-30s this afternoon with some sunshine poking through. We'll be down into the upper 20s tonight with heavy snow expected Saturday. 10 TV Weather Impact Alert Day for the second half of the day as multiple inches of snowfall are expected to fall. That's your latest 10 Weather Impact forecast. I'm Meteorologist Michael Behrens on 97.1 The Fan.
If the sound of another man slammed against plexiglass turns you on, you've come to the right place. Proud to be your home for Jackets hockey. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. The uncle you never knew you had. The friends you kind of wish you didn't. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is, and playoff time means brackets. Mountain Dew and the Fan are giving you a shot at $500 in our college football bracket contest. Just fill out your 12-team bracket before the first game kicks off on December 19th. Enter now at 971thefan.com. What did you make of what Notre Dame attempted to do this week, Tim, in the fallout of being left out of the college football playoff? I know.
You know, you get when you sign up for something, you got to read the fine print, right? And the fine print was that this could definitely happen to them. You know, the idea that Tulane and James Madison had anything to do with is, you know, folly. So bottom line is they got kind of what they had coming to them in the sense of it was delayed justice, but it was justice in the sense that, yeah, Miami beat that team. You know what I mean? Yeah. And all things being equal other than that, and who, you know, define equal, right? When it comes to the committee deciding this team is better than that team. But I thought Yurchek made it kind of clear that after Brigham Young was removed from between Miami and Notre Dame in the considerations, the pods, whatever you want to call it out there, the quads.
Just utter nonsense.
Then, wait a minute. Hey, let's look at Notre Dame's results list. It says Miami beat them. Okay, Miami's in. Here's the thing. Alabama has no business being in this playoff, in my opinion. And, you know, I grew up a huge Alabama fan, and my baby brother Tony is going to be 68. Mm-hmm. He still cries when they get beat or paces. But the bottom line, Alabama is not an elite team by any stretch. No. I think Notre Dame is a better team than Alabama. But, you know, we know what happens about the Southeastern Conference. You know, it just means more. It just means more, yeah, from a financial standpoint of getting a fifth team or whatever in the playoff, fourth team in the playoff. It's a joke that Alabama's in it, in my opinion.
Yeah, two things on
same
that.
Same as last year.
On the Notre Dame side of it, I thought it was so hilarious how that committee acted like they couldn't compare Miami and Notre Dame until BYU was eliminated.
Right.
I'm looking at them as they're saying this. I'm going like, hey, dummies, you're putting it together.
Yeah.
You can rank BYU arbitrarily wherever the hell you want.
Bingo.
You can move them around wherever you want. That was just such an insane thing, Bake. Go ahead.
Real quick, while we're talking about BYU, why don't they have any gripe here in
this?
I'll
give you the answer.
I get it, but they have two losses to the team that the committee says is the number four team in this. That's better. If we're comparing losses, which you know I love to do, that's better than a loss to Miami or a loss to Texas A&M. So,
or Florida State.
Yeah.
Alabama. This came down to just really simple, and it just was this simple. They had two choices. They were either going to piss off an entire conference, or they were going to piss off one school.
One school, yeah.
That was the choice. That was the choice they had to make. And so BYU is easy to eliminate because you can piss them off. It ain't going to make any difference. You don't ever need BYU in the playoff. But Tim, you know this, and I tell people up this, and I believe it wholeheartedly. The SEC, that conference is so delusional that they would, if they got to the point where they said, you know what? We're going to take our ball and go home. We don't need the college football playoff. We're going to do our own SEC champion.
Mm-hmm.
Most, and you tell me if I'm wrong, most of their fans down there would be fine with that.
Yeah.
They would be fine with it. And that's the thing that the college football committee, ESPN, all of them, they could not after last year. And again, I had Notre Dame number 7, Tim, on my final list. I really think they're good. I don't think anybody wanted to play them. I would have had them as the number 7 team in this thing.
Yeah, wouldn't have been a debate.
If I were doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I also am not an idiot, and I've been around this sport long enough to know that politics are involved in all of it, and you have to follow the money. And there was just no way that they were going to, at least from the perception of the Southeastern Conference, stick it to them again.
I know I'm going, whenever you say something like I'm going to say, I know it, I will end up, eating crow. Mm-hmm. The Southeastern Conference does not have, in my opinion, this year and did not have last year, that super elite team. I know how Georgia played at the end of the season. I still think they're limited to a certain extent at quarterback. I'll probably eat crow on that, and then defensively, they can be had by a team that can throw the ball to more than one guy. I'm just saying, so that's their prime team going into the playoffs. And, but this idea that they are head and shoulders,
they're not
better football than what's being played in the Big Ten. I mean, the Big Ten has five of the top three teams in the, it's three of the top five teams. in the playoff. And I think that's accurate. I mean, I really truly believe that's accurate. And, but this idea that the SEC, because they're all a little bit above mediocre, in terms of, I'm talking about when you're comparing elite programs, that's not the case this year. It wasn't the case last year. So that's where I come down on it. I mean, they get this run that they don't deserve because one team rises up and beats the other. Well, that's because, y'all, there is no great team down there. I mean, Georgia is as close as you've got, and they did win games when they needed to win games, but they had trouble. I could go on and on about it. Go ahead.
I think you can look yourself in the mirror and say there are three Big Ten teams who can win the national title.
Yeah.
I think all three of them can.
Yes.
I don't know that any in the SEC can. I guess Georgia's the most likely, but I don't think any of them are. And I think the other thing that's happened to that conference is, and this part's real, is they have been affected majorly by the NIL. And there are some of those big time powerhouses down there that do not have the slush funds that some of these other places do. And so new powers are rising, and whether A&M can maintain it or not will be interesting, but they have unlimited funds, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
That situation at Texas Tech, how many of those kids would have been at an SEC school?
Yeah.
And the other thing that happened in the SEC is because of NIL, kids aren't sitting and waiting anymore. Like, you're not going to sit and wait as a five-star at Alabama. You're going to go play at Tennessee, and then you can transfer somewhere else. So, that has absolutely undercut the top level of the Southeastern Conference. It can't be ignored.
I'll tell you what, the way Texas Tech got his act together in this deal, and it only takes one guy, right? I mean, it's the right guy. But, I mean, they came down after Ohio State had that really good softball season last year. Kieran Kumar, the coach. I mean, Texas Tech came in and basically took that I'm trying to remember her name now, but this – great.
She was at Stanford.
Exactly. The great catcher No, I mean, Texas Tech.
You know, you're talking about the picture.
I'm talking about the catcher.
You're on
I'm talking about
girl,
the catcher.
Women's softball all of
yeah.
a sudden.
No, but I'm just saying.
Ohio State catcher.
No, the Ohio State catcher. I'm talking about.
How are you paying attention? How do you know about an Ohio State catcher?
Because I did a bunch of, I did several, because I really was intrigued by Ohio State. The way they started hitting home runs and stuff last year was amazing. But then Texas Tech came in, swooped in, and got their star catcher. Just like in baseball. Remember, Texas Tech ended up with it's crazy what they've done with finally things being legal about NIL, et cetera. They've been able to go around the country and cherry pick a bunch of that football team they put together is crazy. I mean, it's a
really
good.
They can win it.
It is a good, really good football team that's going to scare some people. I mean,
They can win it. I think
absolutely.
They're one of the teams that can win
it. That Rodriguez guy is crazy. And then they got the other guy, Ben Roberts. Boy, did he have a day last week against BYU on defense and stuff. They got offense and defense. So
the only loss they have is when their quarterback was out against Arizona State.
Correct.
That's it.
Correct. And then look at Vanderbilt. Look what Vanderbilt's done. Look how they swooped in and got Jared Curtis at the last second there, the number one quarterback in the 2026 class who wants to be part of what's going on at Vanderbilt. Who wanted to be part of what was going on at Vanderbilt 3 years ago, you know?
Well, remember, Tim is retired. He can go cover Ohio State softball if he wants.
Softball. I'm like,
but it was major. This, you know,
I get your point.
Set an Ohio State record for home runs, and now she's at
great.
Texas Tech.
I have no idea of any of that. I'm not
okay, I'm sorry.
Those waters, brother. So
I'm
just,
sorry.
Guys, I know we went off on a whole thing here with the SEC and all of that. The only thing that I will say about all this, and you know, Bo, I don't care about this. I don't think any of these teams at the bottom should be in. It shouldn't be this big. I never want to compare losses. I don't care all about that. Notre Dame's best win is USC.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Alabama beat
Navy.
Georgia.
They beat Navy, too.
Yeah. They beat Georgia. Like that's a much better win. Does that make Alabama a better football team than Notre Dame? I don't know. I probably don't think so.
Bo, you answer this before I do. Go ahead. No, I was extremely disappointed with the way Alabama showed up in the SEC championship game. And if it's because they already knew they were in or whatever excuse those Alabama fans like to say, they were not competitive against Georgia.
Yeah, I think in the end you're going to split hairs, and it is going to come down to that best versus most deserving conversation. Mm-hmm. My eyes that have watched a lot of football, my eyes would tell me that Notre Dame is better than Alabama.
I agree.
But I've also covered college football for 25 plus years now, and I also don't understand how it works. And I think Notre Dame has no one to blame but themselves for all of it, because of the way that they continue to choose to go about their business. And as long as you're going to schedule the way they schedule and partner with the ACC the way that they do,
amen,
they're going to leave it up to other folks.
Amen.
And so this is, they don't have a margin for error, but it's of their own doing.
As I, when Bavakwa had his statement this week, and I just retweeted, not that anybody cares, but I tweeted the fact if they had been in the ACC this year,
they would
now be in the playoff.
And there's so would Miami,
no,
because they would have played in the conference championship
about it.
Game.
Exactly. Yeah. So you get, you know, finally comes around to bite you. You know, you get what you reap. We're independent. We're so much better than everybody else. We deserve our own seat at the CFP table and stuff. You know, my opinion has long been, no, you don't. And but next year, what'd you see? That memorandum of understanding?
Yeah.
If they're in the top 12, they are in no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah, it really is. Doug Lamorese in 2 minutes. Bishop and Friends are here.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Bishop and Friends is sponsored by Diamond Seller, your true jeweler for over 75 years.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
First Friday miracles are always better with Uncle Bo. This is Bishop and Friends.
Indeed it is. He is the host of the Bill and Doug Show on YouTube. The Substack is billanddougosu.substack.com. He just did something I want to talk to you about a little bit in a minute here, buddy, comparing a second 10 years war here, which I saw you and Bill did, which I'm very intrigued about. But I do want to start big picture with the University of Michigan, and it's in ruins, all of it. And I don't know where they go from here. As you've watched this story kind of unfold this week, what is kind of your take on it all?
Yeah, it's interesting. Someone brought this up to me a couple hours ago. What Ohio State did, obviously it was May when Jim Tressel resigned in 2011 and Luke Fickell took over as an interim. Would that make sense? Like, just take a breath, reset. Biff Poggi has been a head coach before. Like, it's hard, though. Like, you're going to punt Bryce Underwood's second year, right? Like, that kind of thing. But I don't know if they might just need to step back and, like, try to figure out who they are, what they want to be, who they want leading this program. Because if it's away from the Harbaugh tree, it's a complete reset, and it's a 10-year hire or a 20-year hire. Because if you rush this thing, you have a chance to start heading back down the Rich Rod Brady Hoke road here, right? Mm-hmm. And they've been good for a decade. And if they aren't careful, they can make a bad situation worse. Because right now, I mean, it's bad. So when it's bad, what do? Do you hurry up and look for a savior? Or do you, like, take a breath, especially if maybe people are thinking, is your AD going to be around?
Yeah, but the bottom line is, can't you do that if you bring in an older head coach, for example, who's been a head coach, who kind of knows how to get a program back on its feet or add some stability there? By the way, I didn't realize you were on the Titanic after it started to sink today.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Doug. No, that's okay, man. Everybody needs a survivor. But the bottom line is, aren't you better off at least, you know, like I think Bo pointed out, Brian Kelly's, what, 64? There's a guy that's out there, whether you like him or not, has run programs. I mean, don't they need somebody from the outside coming in to help clean up the mess?
But then are you sure you want Brian Kelly for 10 years?
Well, I don't think
you sure Brian Kelly is going to go silently into the night when you're done with him, if in 3 years he's getting his butt kicked?
Well, like, I don't. You got to roll the dice, I think. I don't know.
Why? You're in disarray.
Because
the ship is sinking.
Is Biff Poggi going to retain all the guys that are about to jump the ship? I mean, you know, you understand where I'm going there. I'm not just making fun of his name. I mean, matter of fact, I thought they called better offense when he was in charge. Go ahead.
Well, but the thing is, like, there's a negative to the portal. It must be considered. What if you lose Bryce Underwood? What if you lose Andrew Marsh? What if you lose the freshman left tackle? I get that.
Yeah.
But then also the portal also gives. So if you get the right guy when it's time, then you can rebuild a roster in offseason. You can get 70 transfers if you need to, right? So, you know, I don't know. Am I rushing into Brian Kelly? I don't know if I am, man. Okay. I don't know if I am.
Who would you rush in?
I mean, I think, guys, what this comes down to is a philosophical. What, in this era that we're in now, and Marcus Freeman, ironically enough, benefited from this the most. Because ironically, it was Brian Kelly. And the reason that Marcus got that job, he was only there for a year, but the reason he got the job, he was incredibly popular, mm-hmm. incredibly charismatic, and they had to keep that roster intact. Mm-hmm. And that was their number one priority. And that's why the Lane Kiffin thing happened the way that it happened. That's why all these coaching hires happened the way that they happened, because everyone panics on the roster. And yeah. I do think this will be kind of a test pattern into, because they have crisis. They don't have a president. They may not have an athletic director. They definitely don't have a coach. They may take a longer. It's going to be an interesting case study on how, the two different paths, Doug, because I think you're right. I think there are two different ways. You can stop gap it and just try to stay above float and try to be relevant next year. But if it's a systemic problem, then it's a reset. And then in that instance, you can't miss.
Right. But there's just probably a group of coaches who maybe would take that job but aren't going to take it in the next week.
Right, right.
So I don't. And agreed. If you are resetting away from the Harbaugh tree, I mean, part of the deal with Marcus is you want to retain the roster, but also you want to keep that guy in the building, right? There's always the idea of, like, when the tragedy happened at Northwestern 20 years ago and Pat Fitzgerald's sitting there, it's like, is he ready? I don't know, but he's going to be someday. We got to keep this guy in the building. You got to keep Marcus Freeman in the building. You want people out of the building at Michigan right now. You don't want to retain what has been there. You want a clean break. So if you're clean breaking and it's like, okay, like blank sheet, like blank slate, let's go. You take this program, new coach, wherever you want to take it. And the new coach is, oh, wait, the seven best candidates all re-signed new deals in the last month,
right,
thanks to the Penn State job. So I don't know. Like, Matt Campbell was sitting there for Penn State. If Penn State had finished their search in a more, you know, in a cleaner way and didn't have to get the man, Matt Campbell, we might be sitting here saying, like, Michigan should hire Matt Campbell tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if, since Matt Campbell's gone, who is that? I don't have somebody in my head who is like, yep, that's the guy who can get fast and also be a 10-year.
Yeah, but think about this. You're talking about him cleaning house, and yet you don't have somebody in your head who can then come in and re-clean the house.
So I want to take it. That's why I want to take a year and think about it.
But you got to have somebody running the house. Somebody's got to, you got to have a guy at the cleaning the kitchen and everything. I mean, so where you go? I mean, the interesting thing here is what you just pointed out without pointing it out, saying it out loud, is we don't even know who's going to hire. We don't know who's going to be in charge of hiring, right? I mean, it's really at a critical moment. Not that Michigan's going to stay this way, but right now, wow, there's no bigger mess in college football maybe over the last 10 years than what we're looking at right now.
Right. I agree. So maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a savior, right? Like, I always bring up Mike Tomlin. I want to see Mike Tomlin in college, right? Like, maybe there's a savior. I don't know.
Well, I like him a lot.
if there's not, if it's not something like that, if it's not you're getting DeBoer to come north, like, if it's not something where it's like, okay, this is great, then I'm not so sure that taking a breath isn't the best idea.
Yeah, it's such a massive decision that they're in now. And, it's not lost on me, especially as we live in a world where everybody kind of lives their own truth and their own silos and reject sound from otherwise. But this is all Harbaugh legacy. All of it is. And up there, he's Danny Ocean, right? Like, he stole from the MGM Grand and the Mirage and all of them at once and got away with all of it and took Tony Benedict's money. But the reality is that from everybody else in college football, it's like, my God, what did they reap what they sowed up there?
House of cards is what it turned into.
Yeah.
But they, we were talking about this on our show. You think I was like crafting the scenario of what if Jim Harbaugh comes in after the 2021 win over Ohio State, instead of staying third base, says, you know what? What a great rivalry. Ryan Day is a great coach. It's an honor to compete against Ohio State. They're the measuring stick. We got over the hump against them. I look forward to competing against the Buckeyes for the next decade. This is the best of college football. And if Connor Stallions had been dorking around, it kicks him out of the building. And maybe you don't get a national championship. Maybe you don't elevate, but you are Michigan. You lean into being a Michigan man, right?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I call it the curse of third base. Instead, because guess who else started on third base and now doesn't have a job, right?
Yeah.
Like, we could pretend that inheriting a good program is easy. I don't think Sherrone Moore showed otherwise. So, he didn't do that. He did this, but it led to a national championship and then the destruction of the program. Which one would you take? Would you take being Michigan, being upstanding Michigan, competing at the highest level, but not getting over the top? But maybe Jim Harbaugh's still there. You still have pride in what you are, but you don't have a title. Or would you take the way it turned out? Because it's Shakespearean. It's a Greek tragedy.
Yeah.
You sold your soul to get what you want and lost who you are.
It's kind of like do you buy the hottest stock going, thinking it's going to keep rising? Or do you invest in an nice interest-bearing account that 10 years from now is really going to pay dividends?
It's not that. It's do you insider trade for the big money?
Well, there you go.
And then go to jail.
That's kind of what I was insinuating.
Live a great life and then you go to jail.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it is.
Bo defines Michigan football. Everybody associated with Michigan football, and we know the doctor scandal after it. We know that. But on the football field, everybody associated with Michigan says what Bo Schembechler did, that's what we want to be, right? No national titles.
Right.
No national titles. But
correct.
You're a Michigan man. The team. You are something, right? So, like, they had a chance to be that, and instead they got this. They had the greatest season in Michigan history, 15-0, national title. And this is what they had to pay the piper for. Was it worth it?
Yeah, I tell you what, our mutual friend John Ubacon will write the book, and it'll be interesting to see what the answer to that is. Doug, I'll get you out of here on this one. Is there, as last Friday at this time, we said, look, and you take the Buckeye part out of it, and you say the best thing for the Big Ten would probably be for Indiana to win that game. I asked you that question in terms of legitimizing all of it, and they did. What is kind of your takeaway as we head into the playoff after what happened Saturday over in Indianapolis and then going forward?
Yeah, my takeaway is there are five teams with a chance to win the national title. Three of them are from the Big Ten, and one of them's from the SEC. It's reaffirmation of what the Big Ten is. I think it's a very difficult thing for Ohio State fans. If you said 10 years ago, hey, the two teams competing at the top of the league with Ohio State are Indiana and Oregon. Their heads would explode. But do you want that? Right? Again, we all lived through the era when nobody in the Big Ten could compete with Ohio State. And if there's somebody, if there, somebody could, it was either Michigan or Penn State. Mm-hmm. Now you have these two outliers who have beaten Ohio State the last 2 years, Oregon and Indiana. Is it wonderful? Are you proud of your conference, or does it make you nuts that somebody beat you? Right? Again, it's like, mm-hmm. what do you want? I think it's good to have a strong conference, and then you risk yourself sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I think we have a shot at Indiana-Ohio State rematch in the national title game, and if it's not Indiana-Ohio State, my pick is actually Ohio State-Oregon.
Yep. Me too.
And wouldn't that be fun?
Yes.
So, can Ohio State still the favorite? They have a chance to fix the things that didn't work? Tell you what, man, I think the Big Ten's in pretty good shape, and so is Ohio State.
Yeah. Good stuff, buddy, as always. Thanks for your time. Great talking to you.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, there he goes. Doug LaMaurice, The Bill and Doug Show on YouTube. Bill and Doug, osu.substack.com. Him and Bill did a piece on a second version of the 10-year war you ought to check out. It's just an interesting way to look at the last 10 years of this rivalry. We'll get you three things on a Friday up next. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
A lot has changed in 30 years, but we're still that old shoe that feels worn in and well-loved. And well, we smell a little, but oof, you've accepted that. The Fan.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
The Jackets are back at Nationwide for a battle with Vegas. Live fan coverage starts Saturday night at 6:30.
Sponsored by Atlas Butler Heating and Cooling.
Proud to be your flagship home of the Columbus Blue Jackets. The Fan.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FURNACE. This hotline is sponsored by Airflow Heating and Cooling and Bryant. Doing whatever it takes to keep you and your home comfortable. The Fan.
If you say something with enough confidence, it must be true. You're listening to Bishop and Friends.
Hi, Beck. What do we have in the poll today?
The Daily Fan poll over at 971thefan.com. How many bowl games should there be? 40 to 30, 10 to 20, or just the CFP? 10 to 20 is winning right now with 56.3% of the vote.
And I put one on my own social media channels, and this was based on a conversation. It was long going between Bob and I and a listener, Chris in Indiana. Is Caleb Downs one of the starting safeties on the all-time Ohio State starting 11? Mm. 3 minutes left in the poll. Overwhelmingly, yes. 93.6%, 6.4. I think it's between him, Doss, and Jack Tatum. Those would be the three for me. Tim, where would you come down on Caleb, who, by the way, he spilled the beans on it that he won the Thorpe on the podcast he does with his brother.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it, number one, Caleb Downs and who? And so I'm going for one season. Malik Hooker was as good a safety as I've ever seen at Ohio State in terms of just running down balls. I mean, he'd be the guy playing
on
the back.
Hedging? Huh? Are you going to hedge?
No, he'd be the guy on the backside running down, throwing footballs.
Lathan, so you got Caleb and Malik?
Yeah, I'd have Caleb and Malik because I don't know how you beat that combination.
He was unbelievable the 1 year.
I feel like it could be like two different questions, like impact shortest and then career. Because like career, it's tough to not have Mike Doss on there, right?
Sure. Correct. But
Jack Tatum also was a difference maker.
He was a quasi, you know. Tatum was like more of like a rover kind of, you know, the guy. But there was a different style of football back then. I'm talking about college football. So I think Caleb offers you so many options. He's been playing linebacker about a third of the time, it seems like, this year, you know. And but I just like the, I like what Hooker, you know, final guy back there on the backside, throw the ball over this guy, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
I think we can all agree, though, that Caleb is the best.
Yeah,
I don't know here.
I don't know.
He's the best.
Well, yeah,
I think that's fair.
I think he brings so much to the table before he even starts playing. So
I think if you were when you're putting the all-time defense together, you're going to say, "Yeah, we need Caleb Downs in that 11."
You're going to want that guy.
Get him lined up.
Yep. All right, time for three things on a Friday. Hit it.
One, two, three
things.
Sponsored by Scioto Downs. Your play, your perks, your Caesars Rewards spot.
All right, number one for me, fellas. We've reached the point in the year where the kids are just falling like flies. Just one brings home something from school, from practice, left and right. And so you're on high alert as a parent all over the place. Like, what is that cough strep? What are we doing?
How
RSV? Do we get into protocols? Right, all that stuff. In the midst of all of it, the 13-year-old NBC, I'm 87% sure, pulled a Ferris Bueller this morning. And we didn't, just because Beamsy's sick, and so he's, now I think he kind of tricked my wife. I'll give her credit. I just got a text from her. She ran his ass to school. He's going second half.
Bishop. Bishop.
Good job, exactly. Good job out of you, honey. Get his ass to school.
My first one is all three of the guys who are on my Heisman ballot are in New York City for the final ceremonies. I'll leave it at that because, you know, obviously we're not supposed to reveal how we voted. And by the way, Bo, I've never had any problem with that, although other people have. I mean,
no problem.
Golly, man. Do you have to know everything? Do you have to know the answer to everything yesterday? No, you don't.
I've never had a problem with it either, Tim. Let the Heisman announce the Heisman.
Yes.
First thing for me, I feel like Bill Belichick is probably the greatest football coach of all time. So I would never want to tell Bill Belichick what to do or how to run his football program. But when I got the news today that North Carolina is letting go offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens and special teams coordinator Mike Prefer, maybe you should have asked us. You should have asked Bishop and Prince. We probably could have told you that wasn't going to work out well. So, Bill, if you need any help ever, not that you would, I'm just saying, give us a call. We could help you out with that.
I could have helped him on Mike Lombardi, too. Like, that was
bingo.
That was the bigger one.
They're going to reinvent college football. It's already been reinvented.
Jeez. Yeah, that's a much bigger one.
Like Mark Pantone, man.
Jeez. Number two for me. So tomorrow is, and yes, tomorrow is the first of my three Christmases. You know, I had the three Thanksgivings, so I got three Christmases. Round one tomorrow. Prayers up that I can get through it.
There you go. Prayers up.
You got this, and you got a couple of special bottles that were released today that will help you through it.
There you go.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
By the way, I watched my 4-year-old grandson practice basketball last night. I'm telling you what, the guys that coach those teams, and Bo, you're probably one of those guys. Mm-hmm. I give it up to them, man. And they actually had some organization going on. Whatever. And if he can ever get to where he can throw the ball up to the hoop, he'll be good.
How high is the hoop that they have?
Eight foot. But he was kind of freaking out a little bit, but he can definitely do it. He does it in his backyard all the time. But
you know,
but
what Seth Sullinger told me once with my boys, and I actually did it. He said when they're really little, never have them shoot on a hoop they can't touch.
Correct. I agree with that.
That's the best advice. So I always had my boys playing when they were really little on those hoops that went up, and they could always touch it.
Bingo. I agree with that 100%. Now, he's 4 years old. I think maybe even early for him. But the funnest part was when we got back to their house, him and his 6-year-old brother, Owen, throwing footballs to him and them diving for him in the basement.
That's awesome.
That's where you know things are moving along the way you want them to as a grandpa.
Old Satch, he could coach a little bit, huh, Bo?
Yes, he could. Oh, yeah. He could coach it. Yeah.
Second thing for me, I'm kind of getting my wish here. I know we talked about this yesterday when you guys did your picks for Beat the House.
Mm-hmm.
The New York Jets, they're running out of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So my guy, Brady Cook, is going to get the start this week against Jacksonville. I am excited to see what he can do. I feel like any quarterback that can bring teams that were kind of underachieving in football or never quite been there to relevance in college football, I think that's a thing. I think what Brady Cook did with Missouri a few years ago, getting them to that Cotton Bowl against Ohio State and playing the way he did, I'm excited to see what the undrafted rookie. That's a game that had no juice. It's got a little juice for me now.
I didn't realize that was your guy.
I love Brady Cook.
If it makes you, if, I don't know if this makes you feel better or worse, but I just picked up Jacksonville's defense for my fantasy playoffs.
There you go.
There you go.
That's crazy.
That means he's going to be great now.
With my luck in the NFL, you're probably right. Finally, for me, as Bake mentioned, our High Bank bottle picks are out. They are available at the 3 High Bank locations today. Really proud of these. Part of the proceeds go to the Ronald McDonald's House, but they're out. They're lovely. Really proud of not just the bottles, but what's inside them especially. I think you'll really like them.
I finally went to the High Bank. We had brunch there before Ohio State's last home game, the night game, and for my youngest grandson's birthday, and gave him a set of golf clubs that were made by Charlie Company, and his name happens to be Charlie, so that was kind of cool. But anyway, mine goes out to Blake Horvath. Have a day tomorrow, man. Navy quarterback. Boy, he could play a lot of places, but he's at Navy and has played his rear end off for the last couple of years. So I'm rooting for the man from Hilliard.
Yeah, you always got to root for the local kids. Always love to see that. Final thing for me, I'm going to the airport later today. I'm going to get on a plane. I know that there is weather supposed to come this week. So everybody pray that we have no travel delays today, which I think we should be good, or coming up on Tuesday, getting home. I don't want to deal. I don't want to sit in an airport for 3 days.
Bo, I was worried. I thought he was going there like Tom Hanks, you know, in that movie, just to hang out.
Go Navy, beat Army. Bake, enjoy your vacation. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. We're back on Monday. Bishop and Friends right here on The Fan.
Bobby Carpenter demands that you watch Morning Juice on YouTube. If you don't, Tito will move into your house.
Live at 6 a.m. on YouTube and streaming on The Fan app.
Atlas Butler has convenient 2-hour service windows for heating, cooling, and plumbing service. Because nobody likes waiting around. You listening, BMB? Nobody likes waiting around.
Call 1-800-FIRST.